I'm Eamon.
I'm Merlin.
And we're a gay.
And his NB.
Episode number 97. Thank you all so much for listening to another episode of A Gay and His NB, the podcast where we talk about all things that we love to watch on television this week. We got a great podcast episode ahead for each and every one of our fabulous listeners. But before we get into any of that, we have a few housekeeping notes that we have to get out of the way first.
Wherever it is that you're listening to us, whether that is Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or one of the other lovely podcast platforms out there, if you could leave us a rating and a review, that helps us get into the algorithm to find more lovely listeners like yourselves, and it helps us to hear back from you. We want to hear what we're doing well, what we're doing bad, and what you would want to see from us in the future.
You can also follow us across social media platforms, all at AgainIsNB. That's on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, and Threads, where we're posting new content every day, including clips from the podcast and some of our instant thoughts about the things that we are watching. We have a lot of things to say, and if you want to get an extra dose of AgainIsNB, you can be sure to get that across social media platforms, all at AgainIsNB.
And if you'd like to support us financially, that'd be lovely. We would love you for so long.
Give us money, please.
Give us money because we are poor. But yes, you can do that by purchasing some of our merch. And that is over at againisnb.threadless.com. And we are leading up into Pride season. We have three Pride designs out there. And we have I think six or seven other designs that are not directly Pride related designs as well, that you can rep us out in the real world. And that's not just shirts. You know, everybody's got shirts, but we've got hoodies, we've got bomber jackets, we've got the ones that you wear, like that are the plasticky material. But it's the plasticky material, like the windbreakers.
Windbreaker.
Yep, they go shh when you're walking. You got those. You got, and if you don't want apparel, that's fine too. You got plenty of stuff like housewares. You know, there's blankets, there's pillows. You can put a magnet on your fridge. Whatever way you want to support us, there's something there that's within your budget. I promise. And they're always running sales. So if you want to, you know, sign up on the little thing, put your email in, and then they'll send you coupons. So there's plenty of opportunities to support us on there. Again, that is againisnb.threadless.com.
And last but not least, if you have any questions for us that you would like us to answer on a future episode of the podcast, you can be sure to submit that across social media platforms that I mentioned before, or at againisnb@gmail.com. Just be sure to leave your name and leave your question, and who knows, we may answer it on a future episode of the podcast. Babe, what are we talking about on this 97th episode?
Well, we're going to be talking about the first part of the reunion for Real Housewives of Potomac.
Oh, boy.
As usual, the green-eyed bandits are wasting everyone's time.
Basically.
You know, and that's just really what it amounts to. Like, they're just refusing to play ball. But that's par for the course. We're also going to be talking about this second episode of Martha's Vineyard.
Summer House Martha's Vineyard, loving it right now.
Honestly, one of the best things on TV. It's great. It's great TV. But before we get to any of that, let's talk Drag Race.
Drag Race for this week, we are down to a top five, and we get the dreaded, I think Morphine later was like, this is my favorite challenge every year to watch on Drag Race. Why? It's literally largely considered to be the one people hate the most in terms of at least a fandom, maybe.
Well, because what the fuck is family resemblance?
We have been puzzled by that for
16 seasons.
Yeah.
Or however many seasons they've been doing this fucked up challenge.
They definitely didn't give a shit about family resemblance. It was I don't know when it was like season 9 or 10 or something where it's like they coined that term and it's like, can we not? Now, I will say this. We'll talk extensively, obviously, about the challenge, but there were stuff that obviously was the everyday stuff with this challenge that I just despise and like roll my eyes at constantly. I will say with at least the choice of the makeoverees, I don't know if that's the word, but whatever. I thought there were elements that I really liked about this makeover challenge more than others.
It helped that they were all gorgeous.
Sure. That doesn't hurt.
And we love the gorgeous menses. Like, that's just, I don't know if you guys noticed, but the name of this podcast is A Gay and His Ambi. We like the men's.
We've been being very nice and very judicial in terms of like the thirst trapping on this podcast as opposed to in like recent months. But like, yeah, this episode, we're going to be horny little devils this episode.
Because, oh boy.
So they return to the workroom after Dawn's elimination. I love the way that Safira described it. It was the lip sync as if it was a chihuahua against a fucking pit bull.
Honestly.
Essentially. Poor Dawn. And we're down to a final five. This also, again, I love like seeing the like in the workroom after like talking heads, because it's like, oh, now that you know the ending of the episode, it's like they telegraphed this. Very much so, like, Safira is on a roll. Morphine is not doubting herself because, you know, I can still win and get to the final even though I haven't gotten a win. It was, like, so, like,
yeah,
this is what's going to happen. And, like...
Well, but, I mean, it makes sense because they do the confessionals the next morning.
Sure.
Before they come into the workroom, that's what they do.
Yeah, it's we mention it, and not to jump so far ahead, but it's like this season is, I don't think it's frustrating, but it's just a little like, okay.
Oh, no, it's frustrating.
Like the elimination order and the just like kind of telegraphing this and like, okay, we know who's going to make final four. It's like it's like that gets settled into someone's brain, it does become a place of like, okay, let's just get there. Like, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah, I just stop it. Literally take your fingers out of the competition and just let people compete.
Sure.
That's what I want to see. I want to see a real fucking competition.
Well, and we'll get to it. And we disagree, I think. But, like, I don't disagree with even the end result of this challenge, right? Like, I don't...
Right.
Like, but it was more...
Well, I disagree with who was in the bottom to begin with.
Oh, really?
Yes.
I find it hard to disagree with them on that. Well, but not always for the reasons they said, but whatever.
Oh, no. I have a rant planned later about a certain makeover that I think was lazy is the best word for it.
And I don't disagree with you on that, but even still, like, it was one of those things where it's like, yeah, to me, it was like, no, this is like how it's going to play out and probably should play out. But like, still, it's like everyone played smart who made it, but like they didn't I think your point is also they didn't push themselves. And so it's like when we're 16 seasons into Drag Race and you're so Drag Race trained to where it's like it was one of those things where it's like it was smart because you knew that was going to work. But also like. It's not inventive.
Yep.
Anyways, we're talking around it, but we'll get to it when we get to the actual critiques. So, oh my God. And they come into the workroom. This shoehorn ass fucking promotional bullshit.
For the Monopoly thing?
We're just like, oh, like come in and just play Monopoly for a little bit. Drag based Monopoly. What the fuck? Like,
number one. Monopoly is ruthless.
Yeah.
Most people don't know how to play that game because it should not take hours on end.
Sure.
It should literally only take maybe an hour, hour and a half.
What we're meant to believe is they come into the workroom in like 5 minutes after they like talk for a little bit, then Rue comes in, right? How are you going to make them play Monopoly?
Right. It takes longer than that just to set up the bank.
Yeah.
I don't get it.
It just was so shoehorned to me. And also, it's like, make it a mini chow. I don't, you know what I mean? Like, do some something. I don't know. There would have been a better way to weave it in than this just, like, you know. It was like they were filming a TV commercial of just, like, family around the table playing Monopoly. Okay, we get it.
Yeah.
Like, okay. So, Rue walks into the workroom to introduce the Maxi Challenge, being the makeover challenge. And this year, the makeovers are some of the pit crew dancers from Drag Race Live in Las Vegas. I will get to it. Like, I thought it was nice to have people who are baked into at the very least have like rhythm and like sort of like, and like when you're a dancer, even if it's more male presenting and you have to do more male moves, like it's like, you know,
you know how to move your body.
Right. And you can be trained to be like, do more feminine things. And it's a little bit of an easier trek in that regard.
Especially when they're dancing on something like Drag Race, right. It's like, it's not going to be Uber Mask anyway.
Sure.
Like, they're out there shaking their ass anyway.
Yeah.
So, like, it's minor modifications to make it drag ready.
So, and I did love the added thing of, like, they have to pull balls out of the
pink furry box.
Pink furry box to match with the underwear that would be revealed. Very, very much fan service, I will say this.
I felt serviced.
So, let's also talk about... Let's give a little bit of a moment. Skip ahead if you don't like talk discussion like this about our thoughts on the men. So, for me... In terms of attractiveness, in terms of the ones I was just like kind of melting into the couch for, Nick, who ended up being Plain Jane's, I thought he was
the redhead, right?
Yes. Mm-hmm. And I thought he was here's the thing. It depends on what you're in the mood for in any given day. Nick is very much more, attractive in the face. He has a very sort of like kind, loving face. Like he'd be a good cuddle. He'd be a good, like, you know. Also, did you see that on the, whatever that show was, the Vegas Review show that they did, the reality show basically about the Las Vegas show, however many years ago? Yeah. He like made out with Naomi or whatever in some like, it was like one of the, it was like they were all partying in the hotel or whatever and they were like playing like games or like Truth or Dare or whatever. Mm-hmm. Like, yeah. So he can get down. And then I would say you immediately were like Sebastian.
Yes.
Who ends up being Q's partner, which I don't disagree with you.
Yeah. Sebastian is,
he can control you in a way that's very sexy. I feel like he has what I mean by that is like he has a very like not domineering personality, but just sort of like he has a confidence that's very,
I'm in charge.
Yeah, very I'm in charge, very prominent, great figure, just like So now that we've gotten that out of the way, this is the weirdest thing that we've done. Like, I mean,
I don't remember all of their names, but there was.
Oh, I have them listed.
Oh yeah. So which one was Orange Shorts?
I don't have them by color. No.
He had like the arm tattoo and the really great. He was Morphine's partner.
Oh, Miguel.
Miguel. Oh.
Sure. Hmm. Like in terms of, like not my type. Personally,
I like his smile the best.
Oh, yes, yes, yes. I agree.
He's got a fucking great smile.
Yeah. And then so, like we mentioned, Q's with Sebastian, Plain has Nick, Morphine has Miguel, Nymphia is paired with Jonathan, and Sophia is paired with Mark.
Jonathan was the straight one.
That was such a fucking gag when Nymphia...
For anyone who doesn't remember which one Jonathan was, he was purple shorts. He had the little Roman numeral tattoo across his chest on the side.
So when Nymphia is like talking to him about, because some of them are sharing obviously like their coming out stories and sort of like their, you know, history in terms of like that, because naturally you have that with the makeovers and all that stuff. And when Jonathan says that he's straight to Nymphia, it's just like, I don't know. Like, it was just shocking to me that like, not even in the sense that he was a dancer, because there's straight dancers, don't get me, you know.
Right.
Straight male dancers. But, like, to be a dancer in specifically the Drag Race live show, you're portraying the pit crew where it's all about, like...
Well, I mean, there are straight pit crew members.
Are there?
Yeah.
Who? Where?
I don't remember. I do remember finding out that one or two of them was straight, but it's a very small sample.
Yeah.
But I kind of get it. Like, if you're confident...
A job's a job.
If you're... Well, but it's not about a job's a job. It's more about, have you ever seen a straight man who is confident in his sexuality, who is complimented by gay men?
Right.
They melt.
Yeah.
They melt for that shit. Mm-hmm. Because we're so, like, overt with our compliments and our flirting. And it's just, like, women don't flirt like that.
They don't
compliment like that. They don't boost the ego like that. Women are a little bit more subdued in general, right? A little bit more subdued with their flirtatiousness. We're very much... we don't do the come hither. We do the we're going there.
Exactly. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And we will pursue you. And so I think that's a nice little flip sometimes for straight guys to feel pursued, to feel wanted, to feel like they are the get, they're the catch, you know? So I get it. I get why a straight guy would want to be in that environment all the time. And then you've also got to figure a lot of straight women are coming to these shows. A lot of straight women are fans of this content. So yeah, like if you're the one straight guy on the cast, you get your pick of any of the women that are coming here and want to hook up with somebody.
Sure, that's probably fair.
So, I mean, you get best of both worlds in that case.
So Rue tells them that obviously she's looking for family resemblance, whatever the fuck that means. And also that they have to also choreograph a dance moment. So it's also, I love the element of like, the dancers also teaching, like, you know, bringing something to the table, right?
Yeah, but I love how that was part of the challenge, and all the pretty much all the queens said, okay, so you're choreographing this.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I love how the challenge was for the queens, but the queen said, no, you're doing it.
Sure. I mean, go to the experts, though. Like,
I mean, that's fair, but not just because you're a dancer doesn't mean that you're a choreographer.
That's true. I mean, like, choreography, like, it was... They basically had to do like a Soul Train line. It wasn't like specifically like that era of Soul Train, but like
stuff. Right.
I love Plain saying that, talking about getting Nick as her partner, and says that he's a hairy, big, strong version of Dawn, which I was like, oh, I see that actually.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I did love their dynamic too, because Plain's like, so I'm like a slutty, sexy girl, and Nick goes, thank God, I wanted to be a hot slut.
Which you could see on the runway.
Oh, yeah. So, yeah, we'll get to it where it's like, I will actively praise them in terms of like driving
presence.
Home.
Presence was great.
Yeah, yeah. They carried themselves very well. Miguel's talking about like the work that he's done in the past or whatever, and Morphine is just like completely zoning out because he's so hot. Rightfully so.
I get it.
Yeah, so
also I'm a little frustrated that none of these women decided I'm gonna do a hairy queen.
Sure.
We're gonna leave this man's chest hair and then have a deep V. You know, something. There
when they did have to
show
shave,
some like variety.
Sure. When they did have to shave them later, I was like, ooh, that is kind of like, because though they have to, I mean, they have to be shirtless at the very least if they're doing Drag Race Live, right? And like that does like mess with, you know.
I've never bought into the shaving your hair makes so that used to, because I think most of our listeners know that we're also wrestling fans. That used to and still is pretty pervasive in wrestling.
Sure.
That getting rid of your body hair makes you look more muscled. And I disagree.
See,
because I think your body hair actually accentuates all of the crevices.
I don't think even the actual like body hair to me would be the most issue. It would be the facial hair.
Clean it up. Clean it up. Make it very like graphic. Like, there are ways to make a graphic beard very sexy and drag.
Right, but you're saying to use the beard. They're having to actually, they're just full on shaving it off because they need to.
I mean, but like, look at queens like Danny Beard from UK.
Sure.
Gorgeous drag queen. And she looks, besides the beard, looks like a woman.
Sure.
Like, there was, who was the one from Canada who had the full beard?
Oh,
And then there was,
God, I can't remember anything anymore. There's so many queens.
From Holland season one.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know, like there are, several examples of queens who embrace body hair and facial hair and are successful. Sure. I wish that we had celebrated that here.
But then you would also have to make it more about that person's person. Like, you're dressing up that particular person, not matching to your style or trying to, again, make family resemblance, which is just a stupid, like, you know.
I guess that's fair.
We've already litigated it, where it's like they need to change the challenge in terms of that because it does limit certain freedoms in terms of that. And, like, as much as I do agree to a certain extent, like when you have someone like Morphine's later, where it's very clearly the body type, like Morphine shows skin. And so therefore you need to, like, that's part of her drag in many ways. So therefore her partner needs to show skin. And if he has more of a muscular, manly build, that's difficult.
And let's also talk
You can't change someone. Yeah.
Let's also talk about the fact that this is supposed to, it's supposed to show whether a queen can turn someone else into a drag queen. Someone that's wanting to be a new drag queen, bring them up, bring them into their family, yeah. right? In what world does a drag queen who is worth her salt import her own style and her own thoughts yeah. on what drag is onto a baby queen?
It doesn't happen.
It doesn't happen. You line up. I mean, I know that Shangela is not exactly in vogue right now.
No, not really.
But her and Alyssa Edwards and Laganja Estranja are all in the same drag family. Alyssa's their mother.
Yeah.
Other than the way that they talk, because you could tell that they spend a lot of time together and they have similar, like, cadences and their phrasing and whatnot, their styles are completely different.
It's just like it's not a common thing.
The way that they look in drag is not, there's no family resemblance. Yeah. But that's what a drag family looks like. You put Tsunami Muse next to Candy Muse and you can't tell that they're mother daughter.
Right. But
that's why I fucking hate this, because it's supposed to be, how well can you be a drag mother?
Right.
In real life, there's no family resemblance
in
drag.
Or just make it about makeup. Just make it about the makeup.
Right.
You know what I mean?
It should be testing a queen's ability to look at someone's face and go, this is where your face lends to drag.
Yeah, and that's the other thing. I forgot who was saying it. I think it might have been... Oh, I think it was Jada on the pit stop, because she was on with Trixie, where it's like... It also doesn't, like, you can't just take your face and implant right. it on another person's face with a different bone structure and a different
exactly.
sort of makeup. And, like, think, like, you have to adjust in certain ways to where it's like, then make it about how making that person look the best as possible, even though they aren't wearing your makeup.
Right. Which is the problem I had with Q.
Yeah, we'll get.
We will get there.
Yeah, let's go further a little bit. They do a fun moment where they have them all like do a walk off in heels, and some of them are doing better than the actual queens.
Ooh.
I do. Who? Someone really said it. It's like, oh, like some of the queens like could take a few lessons in terms
Q.
of like. Well,
Q can't walk.
Sure. In terms of just like presence and like
Q and Gothy Kid Doll both walk about the same.
Well, Gothy's in a league of her own. I gotta say. Yeah, it's really bad. Oh my God. So then the Nymphia then decides to show Jonathan a walkthrough of how to tuck, where she has the fucking pantyhose that she has, like, I guess like tennis balls or something in. And
why
then,
did she put them in separate? Like, this is the second time in recent history on Married to Medicine.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
And then Nymphia does this is they're in the same sack.
Yeah.
It's one ball sack.
And it's like, the banana went like between, and it's like
no, that's not. Do you know what happens when you tuck?
But also, I thought Morphine's wasn't doing it correctly either when she comes over, because it's like she doesn't. She put like four rounds of like tape around the shaft or something. And it was
no.
Like,
what are you doing, ma'am? It. I'm gonna get graphic for a second. there is like space in there, like up. Next, basically where the ovaries would be.
Right, it's like a pocket.
Right. And, well, because in development, testicles and ovaries are the same organs. They right. just develop slightly different.
I love this. It's become a medical lesson.
You just have to basically put the testicles back up where they was when they were ovaries.
Yeah.
And then you just have some extra skin that you tuck the penis down between and then kind of wrap the skin around the penis and then tape all of that together. One tape all the way to the back. Right. That's it. it's really not that fucking difficult. And if you do it right, it's not that uncomfortable.
No.
Now, it gets uncomfortable when you got to be in there for hours and then there's blood flow issues. Sure.
Well, and they also, there were, I also give credit to some of the queens that actually had them wear like leotards that like you really needed to like,
yeah,
you know, smooth things out and so to speak.
But if you wear a good tucking panty, you don't have to worry, or like shapewear or yeah, something will hold all of that shit in place. You ain't even got to use tape.
Right. Rue comes in to do walkthroughs with everybody. Oh my God. Safira's, she's, because Rue's asking, like, okay, what about like the drag names or whatever? Safira was going to go with Hyacinth Crystal. And Rue's like, what? But like Safira Sapphire.
Right. So it should have been, another crystal. It should have been like
Gem,
Ruby Crystal.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Or like Topaz Crystal. Or.
Or
something.
Jade is already a woman's name.
Jade Crystal. Something.
Yeah. But literally, Rue goes, how about just go with like Shakira?
Or you could, because Crystal is like not pronounced like crystal. Right. So you could just, you could do Jade Crystal.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. You got to put like a little like accent right. E on it.
Yeah. Right. A little accent over the E. Jade Crystal. Yeah. It is French. Isn't that cute?
Okay. This is also when, so Rue gets to Q and her partner. And this started this weird, like, I felt like I was being gaslit at a certain point because Rue was like, so are you noticing, because they talk about like, oh, you know, it's about, you know, making him shady and all that stuff. And Rue's like, are you noticing the queens to shade other queens? And Q goes, you know, I like to shade and be funny. It's kind of my thing.
When?
Wait, what? And also they didn't like, again, also with the end product, it's like, what are we talking? Like Q did none of that in the presentation and like put, but it was just like, yeah, I'm a shady queen now. That's not...
We got more shade from Maya than we ever got from Q.
Yeah, and Maya barely spoke.
Right. Like, I don't understand.
I was just like, were these cut scenes? Like, was this
must
like,
have been.
Did they think they were going to do, are we getting the Real Friends of WeHo cut by accident? I don't know what's happening. Yeah, it was, I was so confused. Oh my God. And then Plain Jane and Rue are doing the walkthrough, and Plain tells her that the name for Nick's drag character is Lazy Susan. And Rue, the way Rue just goes,
Rue died. R.I.P. Rue.
What felt like for 2 minutes.
It was, yeah. Also, why did Q not, you were saying this when we were watching it, why did she not name her daughter A?
Yeah, Q and A.
Why was it not a letter?
She goes with Luna, and I'm like, what does that have to do with
Q and Luna?
What? Like,
what?
But like, baffled to me. Like, some, it has, like, you have, what, 25 other options of letters right. to go with? Like,
I didn't get it either.
Yeah. Okay, so they were rehearsing on the main stage, and like you mentioned, it's basically the dancers are taking the lead on pretty much everything. So this is where I literally got so defeated. So Safira, when they were in the workroom, talked about that she brought these like geode style dresses
right.
for specifically the makeover challenge, and they're these long gowns with like, and they're heavy, clearly.
Because she didn't know there would be a dance element.
Right. And so they're trying it, like Safira's trying to do rehearsals in the gown and it's not working. She can't even do like a two-step basically. And she's getting frustrated by it. She says, you know what? Let me scrap the gown. She literally takes the gown off in the moment and like throws it aside. And I went, oh no. oh no.
I wish that there had been a way to turn that into a reveal.
Right. That's what I literally was like, I would have, in retrospect, figured something out with this gown. Either rip it off or do some kind of like sexy reveal.
But I also understand if it, you can't get out of it quickly and it's a super expensive dress, I don't know that you want to waste that money.
Right.
Or, you know what I mean?
Or like, do something where you don't have to move your feet a lot.
Right. She can reuse that dress.
Yeah.
She can like something, but there's, I don't know. I think she was damned if you do, damned if you don't.
Yeah, but also in terms of how they also, I was also defaulting of like, okay, well, they've done dance-ish things before, but it's like they don't typically grade it that much in terms of the makeover challenge. So I was like, maybe lean more towards like maybe the dance isn't that great, but the makeover is stunning, so therefore it evens out. You know what I mean? Like the none of the dances were like phenomenal, even from anyone else. So it's like
I think they would have gotten. Here's the thing: if they had gone that route, they would have been told you just gave up. You didn't even try, and that's half of the challenge, is what they would have been told. Even though that's fully bullshit, they would have figured out a way to make her in the bottom.
Right.
So that's what I mean. She was screwed if she did, screwed if she didn't.
So, they go in the workroom the next day to put them in the makeup and do the challenge or whatever. And Safira says, like, okay, so I scrapped the Geo thing. I have this orange look, and Plain had a matching look that she allowed me to borrow. And I literally, when she said, I was like, oh, God damn it. She's going to be in the bottom. She's going to be in the bottom, because it's like, just because the colors match to me. And it was frustrating for me, cause I didn't even like it. Right. Like I hate the whole family resemblance thing, but even when she presented, I was like, none of this makes sense.
Well,
so it's like
my thing is that they were both dance outfits, right? One was like a square dance outfit, and one was more of a Latin
ballroom
kind of dance. So to me, that's still, there's some connection. They're almost the exact same fabric, and there's the dance. They're both dance outfits.
She tried to explain it as a mother, her being the mother, like going to a ballroom competition for her daughter. And I was like, no, that's not what that is.
But she had to make something up on the fly, and she did well with it. I thought it just didn't. It screwed her.
Yeah, let's actually get into the actual looks. Rue walks the runway, and the guest judge is Kelsey Ballerini, which she seemed very nice, but like it definitely was like, here's the, I'm very appreciative of what she did for our community in terms of like having the drag performers on the CMTs.
Well, and she's hosting CMTs again this year, so we may get another performance with drag queens.
And I said it at the time when she did, I was like, that is fucking ballsy to do that at a time like this, in a platform that is largely viewed by right-wing people. Like, it's, you know.
To be fair, though, unless you were told that those were drag queens, I mean, Manila, Kennedy, like,
people are stupid, but
they looked so fucking amazing on that stage. So, like, you would have had to told me.
Yeah, I think, like, it was nice to see her talking untucked just about, like, I mean, I just saw this and it was, like, obviously wrong to me.
Yeah.
So, therefore, like, it was, like, I didn't think about it at all. Like, you know, and that's, you know, she seemed very sweet, even though she didn't seem as learned into the community even. Like, not to say you have to be, but it was just very, like, you know, she seemed nice.
Well, and it says a lot that CMT is having her back to host this year.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that to me means a lot.
Mm-hmm. So let's go through everyone's, we kind of pretty much talked about Safira and Shakira. The only other thing I will note is the other problem I had was that there was an underskirt to Safira's look that was deep blue, and there was
sapphire,
and there was nothing to match in Shakira's look.
Yeah.
In terms of that. So that's where it was like,
yeah, there was no blue element. Yeah. You should have had something blue. And the shoes were awful. Right.
Oh, and they didn't match.
Well,
she had these Shakira had these like ankle, like silvery ones.
But, and they were boots. They would have worked better with Safira's look.
Right. Oh my God. That's so true. Wow. Yeah.
Because that's a square dancing. It's a country look.
Yeah. It's like, nah, Safira, you fucked that up. I'm sorry. Like,
and then she's just wearing her sparkling character shoes, which she's worn for like 8 challenges. But I get it.
But literally, Rue has made character shoes your personality. Why are you not putting her in a fucking character shoe? That was the one moment. Like, again, I don't love that Safira like got hit by this family resemblance thing. That's stupid. But there were a couple things where I was like, this is your fault. Like, you know what I mean?
Sure. But I think she was backed into a corner and did the best that she could with what she had.
I guess. Q and Luna.
Can I bitch about this for a second?
Go ahead.
The outfits were fabulous. Love the outfits. Sure. That's really cool. Like these really, like clearly in the same vein looks, but like obviously they're different looks. I love the different uses of the same fabric, all of that sort of thing, right?
Yeah.
Fabulous. Love that. From the neck down, I'm a huge fan. From the neck up, this is lazy fucking makeup.
Yeah, it's a full white, like white circle face with like, there's not because, a lot of like.
Because there is, sure, there is artistry to this look. I will not take away from the artistic element. But the part, the main point of a makeover challenge is like we hinted at earlier, it's about learning the topography of the other person's face.
Yeah.
And putting that face in drag. That is not what happened here. Yeah. What happened is she took a rubber stamp and poof, on her face.
And I'd be kind of disappointed if I was the makeover.
You right.
Know? Because it has, it's like, I would, like, part of me wanting to do this would be, like, seeing
the full glamour
transformation.
Right.
Like, and so, like, that's missing in a way.
Right. Like, I like, it's not as a disrespect to club kid culture.
Yeah.
It's amazing. But I don't think it's appropriate for the makeover challenge.
No, I agree. I just, and it was like.
Because she didn't have to learn her person's face at all.
Right.
She just drew a circle, drew some squiggles over her eyes, and that was it. We were done.
Yeah.
Like, what? You didn't have to, like, contour anything. You didn't have to, like, figure out where her cheekbones are going to be, where her eyebrows are moving to, where her chin is moving to. Like all of these things that you do in drag to play with shadow and light.
And it's not there.
And it's not there. This is fucking lazy.
Yeah.
And I think if I was on the judges panel, I would have read her for that shit and put her in the bottom.
Yeah.
That's so me.
Here's I don't know if they were able to even put her in the bottom in terms, because it's one of those things where it's like, this is like what they want. I also was like, I've seen this a couple times before on this challenge. Like, you know what I mean? It's similar.
To me, yes, I agree. I just think that 85 to 90% of the makeover challenge is the makeup.
Right.
Which is why.
It should be.
Which is why my top two were Saphira and Nymphia.
Yeah, so Nymphia's, well, actually, before we go to Nymphia's, let's do Morphine's, because Morphine's is next. Morphine and Latina, which I thought was fun.
Yes, that was cute.
Again, I do agree with the hair critique, that Latina needed bigger hair.
Yes.
To offset
the shoulders.
The shoulders. And I don't know, like, oh my God, like, T.S. Madison was on the panel and mentioned doing like a boa to at least like cover it up in certain ways.
Not necessarily even cover it up. It's just to add some softness to that area. Because the shoulders are, as a man, thick and scrumptious and lovely and wonderful to latch on to. Well, anyway, but as a woman, maybe not the most attractive part of the body.
Right.
So, like, and if anybody on that panel knows about transforming into a woman, it's T.S. Madison.
Yeah. And it's like, I think, I also was annoyed that they hit her for simplicity. Spoiler alert, I like plain Janes, but I also was like, okay, but how is that not simple? You know what I mean? And then also
simple. It's another leotard. It's two of the exact same look. So it's not even really like, I thought that was a lazy look too. I didn't like it.
I think it's difficult in certain regards because it is a leotard and you need to shape body in a way that looks as, you could do that poorly, right?
Yeah.
And like we just said about like Q's one, where it's like, I also would argue that that's lazy to a certain extent as well. So it's like, I don't know.
I would have put Q and Morphine in the bottom too.
No, Saphira had to go in the bottom for me. I'm sorry.
Saphira was my safe option.
Yeah. Now on to Nymphia and Juanita. Juanita just looked like Mirage to me. I don't know why. Like it was like.
I can see that.
And I know Mirage has like specific, like sort of like the stuff with like the eyes and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. That's different. But it was just like something about it. I was like, oh my God, Mirage.
Yeah.
They do this like Tweety Bird, like, well, more Big Bird and like a more like lilac-y, like contrast version. I thought it was a good concept. You know?
I thought it was great. Did you see where Nymphia went and put
Anitra
in the purple look?
Yeah. Well, then maybe that's where I got Mirage from.
It looked so good.
Yeah. 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 It was, I could have seen Nymphia winning.
Nymphia, I think, should have won. Like the characterization of these birds, right? No character was broken throughout the entire performance. They were in character as those fucking birds.
Sure.
Which is a lot easier or a lot harder than like coming out there and going, I'm going to be cunty.
Well, okay. So you were talking about Plain Jane and Lazy Susan.
Sure.
So in there, I say Lazy Susan, aka Gothy Kendall, because I was like, oh my God, that's Gothy Kendall.
I think she fucked her nose up.
I didn't mind it.
I think that nose was entirely too small. You can't snort coke through that. What are you doing? Like, what are we doing?
It's not functional.
It's not a functional nose. That nose belongs on a Barbie doll.
Yeah. I think Nick as Lazy Susan was fucking fierce. And
oh,
I think,
yeah.
I think
1,000%.
She sold it very well. And I...
She was living her fantasy.
Yeah, and like, have I... Like, it's not super creative, don't get me wrong. I did like the pigtails. The pigtails were like a good, yeah, like, sort of like impactful touch. But it was like, I don't know why. I've been on your train this whole season. I'm just like, Plain Jane's just kind of boring to me in terms of look, right?
Yeah.
And here I was, I don't know why I liked it. I liked
the wigs. I didn't like anything else about this. The characterization was great. The cuntiness was fabulous.
Yeah.
But the outfits, the makeup, I wasn't a huge fan of. I need to show you. Bob and Monet talked about this look on Sibling Rivalry. And they very much agree with my view on this, and that it is boring.
Bob critiquing makeup. Just
look.
I can't say shit. Like,
Bob still goes out there and looks great.
Yeah, Bob. No, I love
Bob. Bob can put on a lip and be good and be fierce.
Yeah.
That's because she's got face. She can serve the face category.
Right. They also do. So they do like the dance part of the challenge or whatever to Super Queen. There was that moment where Latinas, they did like a skirt reveal and like the skirt didn't fully come off or whatever.
Right.
They didn't even, they were like, you powered through. So it's not even a problem for us. It's all this other stuff. And I was like, what? Like that almost frustrated me from a producer standpoint where it's like, they gave you the out to put them in the bottom because of the skirt, right? And then they didn't even take it.
Right.
They're like, we're just going to critique you on this other shit.
Well, but to me, that's like, why are you critiquing the makeover person for a wardrobe malfunction?
Well, I mean, if they have the experience of being someone on stage.
Right. And he showed the experience of being on stage by going, fuck it, I'm just going to keep going.
Yeah.
That's a fucking professional.
Yeah, but that they didn't even hold it against him is the thing where it's just, I was like proud, but then when they started doing all the other negative critiques that were a little like vaguer, I was just like, what are we doing? Plain Jane ends up winning. I didn't mind this. I thought I could have seen Nymphia winning, but I, for some reason, I didn't mind Plain winning.
It's weird because I think when it comes to makeup, I think Plain should have been the safe option. When it comes to overall look, I think Saphira should have been the Plain or the mid option.
Sure.
With Plain Jane being in the top, but Nymphia winning.
Possibly.
That's my view on this. I think Nymphia did the best.
Yeah, but it ain't our show.
it is not Merlin's Drag Race.
Oh my God. And also when Rue goes, you've won $5,000 courtesy of Monopoly. And I was
so
like,
is it Monopoly money?
That was my initial thought. I was like, oh, you fucked them over. Also, courtesy of Monopoly, you mean Hasbro? Like,
right.
Monopoly's not a company.
Right.
Like,
but like also, also, they gave an extra $5,000 to the makeover partner.
And they gave also all the other makeovers $1,000, I think. So,
yeah.
Yeah, that was nice. The bottom two ends up being Saphira and Morphine. I'm like, either it's going to be a major upset that I'm going to be very upset by, or the obvious thing is happening. So it's like,
right,
what are we going to do here?
Right. I was going to be pissed either way with one of these two going home.
Yeah. And they lip sync to Miss Me More by Kelsey Ballerini. This was I was like, oh, they're doing a Kelsey Ballerini song, like doing country and like, on a drag rack.
But look, Saphira's look worked for it.
So yeah, Saphira's look worked for it. But also, I love that they do this, like, scent. It's a little more upbeat than a normal country song, don't get me wrong, but it's still like a country song in terms of like messaging and all that.
Right.
And it was like they were doing splits and like fucking like stunts and shit.
I mean, I was, it's like, morphing.
What are we doing?
What?
No, Saphira did like a split too. Saphira, sure, did like the pussy pounding split from their first lip sync.
Right.
And I was like, what are we doing here?
Right. Well, I mean, look, when you're going up against Morphine, you pull out all the stops. It doesn't matter what song you're singing.
They
could have been out there, you know, lip syncing to I Will Always Love You, and you got to pull it out.
Yeah.
You got to do what you got to do. And if that means you're pounding pussy on the floor while crying, then that's what you got to do.
It's like that. Remember that meme I showed you about someone posted? Oh, it was Bravo While Black posted about Shanice from Summer House Martha's Vineyard, and it was like crying, laughing, twerking at the same time. That's what you're describing. Accurate.
Yes, that's exactly it.
So Morphine ends up going home. I loved Morphine this
season.
I thought she was very underrated. I thought that. It was frustrating because there was a lot of very strong queens in the mix to where she just couldn't get a win and sort of like break out. She should have won the fucking power music thing.
Yeah.
And then they fucked her with that.
Yeah. The judging this whole season has been questionable.
Yeah. But anyway, she's great. I would love to see more from her down the line. Very, very talented queen. We're down to our final four. They're doing a final four challenge where it's like maybe someone will get eliminated. I'm guessing they won't.
They never do because they want to do that lip sync thing for the finale.
Yeah. I think it's interesting that so Saphira and it's Saphira or Plains to win in the sense that they both have four wins.
Yeah.
Which is, I don't think we had two queens with four wins ever.
Not that I can remember, but I also don't have the Rolodex of Drag Race.
Check us if you guys know in the comments, but like it really could go either way. I'm leaning towards Saphira. But they're really behind Plain Jane, too, so it's like...
Dear God, I hope not, because the ego will be insufferable.
Here's the thing. After I watched Plain on Katya, or on The Bald and the Beautiful with Katya, I think Plain is more in tune than most people give her credit. I think there is, like... I don't know if she should win this season, just from a presentation, like, who you want is, like, a winner, right?
Right.
To sort of, like, represent the brand... And sort of all that stuff. But I don't doubt that. I think she is very funny in certain ways. She's very cerebral in her humor in a way that I like. And so...
Here's the thing. Drag Race likes a story.
Right. Well, that's why she cried like two episodes ago. She found her heart or whatever.
I feel like the story exists more for Saphira.
1,000%.
So that's why I feel like they will probably give her the crown. Not because she doesn't deserve it, but like clearly she has earned the fucking crown.
Yeah.
It's very reminiscent to me of Bianca's season.
Yes.
Where, I mean, it's clear from day one that Saphira was going to win this thing.
But Adore was also like an
Adore had a good underdog, and like Courtney had that good, like, riding the high all season too.
Yeah.
So, like, there was stories for other people to win. I would
be shocked if it's either Q or Nymphia. Like, I don't see them winning.
I don't see them winning either, but I see if any of those four gets eliminated, it's Nymphia. And I see the final.
I hope it's Q. I think it would be such a gag if it was Q.
I hope it's Q too, but Q fits the Adore slot.
Oh God. Nah, don't
Q fits the Adore slot. Plain fits the Courtney slot and Safira's in the Bianca. You see what I mean in terms of story arc?
Sort of. I think Q is the underdog in her own mind.
Oh, 1,000. There's a lot of Delulu going around on this cast.
Sorry. I'm like turned on Q more than I'm on Plane at this point. And again, she's not like a bad person. I'm just in terms of the show I'm watching.
I'm just over it.
Yeah.
I'm over it for everyone on this that's left on this cast but Safira.
Yeah.
I'm over it.
Sure. So that was Drag Race for this week. We're going to take a quick commercial break, and then when we come back, we're talking the part one of the Real Housewives of Potomac reunion. Don't go anywhere.
Well, hello, friends. I'm your pal in the mainstream media.
And I'm the Riz.
Riz, it takes years of strenuous, dedicated training before you're worthy to step inside a professional wrestling ring. But it takes even more time to develop complex, highly astute opinions about professional wrestling. Am I right?
That is correct. Yes. And you know where we can find that?
Yes.
On the Wrestling Mayhem.
That's right.
Do you want something new to put on your reading list? Are you feeling your holiday spirit grow while also being astutely politically in tune?
Then you'll want to pick up The Santa Strike, a new book by Shanna Hamaker.
While home in Midland, Texas on a weekend visit with the eccentric uncle who raised him, Marion Wachowski, otherwise known as Mary, discovers a long-forgotten letter Uncle Joe wrote to Santa Claus. Mary keeps it to share with his girlfriend Lindsay and his best friend Tommy. At first, they consider the letter to be nothing more than a silly lark. What kind of grown man would write a letter to Santa? But soon, Mary and Lindsay find themselves caught in a much larger mystery, concerning many, many more letters to Santa, all surrounding the crisis of gun violence in America.
You can order The Santa Strike now on Amazon, available both on Kindle and in paperback.
Sidekick Media Services. We are your sidekick in business for social media, video production, and more. Find out more at SidekickMediaServices.com.
Welcome back to A Gay and His NB. Let's catch up with the ladies of the DMV as Andy tells them they need to get their shit together and take accountability on Real Housewives of Potomac.
Part one of the Real Housewives of Potomac reunion. This reunion, buddy.
This reunion is just as frustrating as the entire season has been.
and it's like with the news that was like coming out before about like, you know, people leaving.
Mm-hmm.
I get it after this reunion. It was like,
yeah.
No, it makes sense. Yeah. Yeah.
Because if I was Candace, I wouldn't sit around after this bullshit.
Yeah. And this is, I know we got two more parts to come. But,
oh, God.
But from what I have seen from the first part, I think I can make this conclusion. And also seeing previews of like what seemingly mm-hmm. is going to happen in the second part. Robin's performance, I think, might be top five worst reunion performances of all time. I think if we're in terms of honest, general, taking biases and like whether you like a person, or she's doing terribly this reunion.
But there are people who think that Robin and Giselle are owning Candace on
this. I think there's a lot of people who think that about Giselle. I have not found one person that been like, yes, Robin. Queens of Bravo was quiet.
I mean, Queens of Bravo posted, "La Robins are over."
Yeah, I think that was an April Fool's thing, but whatever.
Oh, was it?
It might have been, but I believed it. It was correct after the performance. Like, it was genuinely like,
yeah.
Holy shit, Robin, this is bad. Yeah. You are going out flopping. Like,
it's awful. Like, this is trash.
It's really bad. There are some good moments in this reunion, largely from Karen, which I will get. And again, Karen, I get it. You got that DUI, and I'm really going to hate you, and I'm going to, you know, wag my finger at you next season. Don't get me wrong. But, like, you were great this reunion. You were really fucking good.
If there is a next season.
I think there will be. I think,
because this is, like, when Andy starts the reunion out going, you guys sucked.
Yeah, basically. I don't think that's ever happened before.
Ever. Like, that, it bad. He literally came in. I believe that the phrase that he used was, as a viewer, this was an incredibly frustrating season.
Okay, but here's my slight issue with Andy doing that. That's your guys' fucking fault. Blame production.
Yeah.
I maintain, yes, you can talk about the players of the cast, and I'm not saying that that is like not a factor in terms of this, but it's also your production's fault.
Yeah.
You didn't, force them into situation. You gave them so much rope in which they could act like this to where it made the show bad. And you didn't, it was so obvious that people didn't put their foot down with people, that
right.
They didn't like actually sort of like structure this in a way where it could lead to any mending. It's like you guys, it's partly your responsibility too. You have to do the work as well.
Right.
And so you can't, I felt slightly bad in the sense where you just throw them under the bus as the cast, and it's like this is like you, yeah. It just frustrated me.
Yeah, that's fair.
So the women all arrive to set at 5 a.m., which is like super fucking early, even for like reunions. Apparently,
jeez.
Oh my god. So Giselle is the first one out onto the stage when Andy's there, and Giselle goes, "Oh, so who's sitting here?" And Andy goes, "Karen." And Giselle goes, Okay. That'll be good. And
she was pressed.
And on the rewind, they put a little music underneath to where I think the producers were also being like, you should know that Giselle is slightly upset that she's second chair.
Yeah.
Like, I think that is, yeah, I would be upset.
Well, it's the first time in 8 seasons.
Yeah. Giselle has never.
It's always Karen, first chair on one side. Giselle, first chair on the other.
There was one season when Karen wasn't. It was when Ashley... It was the big thing with, like, the Michael stuff. Ashley was first chair.
Oh, right.
But, like, Karen didn't give a shit. Like, Karen... Like, you know what I mean? So it's like, what...
Karen being first chair is honestly almost like Lisa Vanderpump being first chair on Vanderpump Rules.
Yeah.
You know, in that she's the matriarch of the show, she's not really involved in most of the drama, at least... This season, Karen's not involved in this drama.
Sure.
She's still first chair.
Right. And Giselle, there's been a couple seasons where I feel like Giselle has not even deserved first chair as of recent. So,
yeah.
You know. Since we're talking about Karen, I would say great looks overall by the cast. All of them, I would say. Giselle looks the best that she's ever looked at a reunion. I will say that. Karen's look, I loved. I think it's one of Karen's best looks of all time.
The hair has grown on me.
I really love the short hair.
I fucking hate the dress.
The texture of the bodice thing is a little Groot, which like...
The texture's not even the issue. I don't like the hard bodice that is just a flat plane. I don't like that. I don't like it on anybody because it takes away any and all shape.
She just... I just realized she did that because she's the fence. She's the fence. It's like a fence over her, like...
No, what is she showing up as Wilson from Home Improvement? She should have made it a little bit higher so only her eyes poked out over the top.
I know, right? But, like, I think it's a fantastic look. I love this look so much. So Andy's going through the cast, like, saying hi and stuff like that. He gets to Ashley. He goes, any divorce news yet? Ashley goes, yes. There is. I'm not divorced yet, but I have some movement. So vague, and I don't believe there's any
at all.
She's like making shit up at
especially
this point.
When she literally at a later point says that she still rubs this man's feet every night.
Yeah, well, I think we're gonna get that like next couple parts, but yeah, it's like
every night you're seeing this man every day.
No.
So he just lives with you.
Yeah, basically. He's a roommate. Andy goes, I feel like every year I asked Robin when's the wedding, and now I'm asking you when's the divorce. And Mia chimes in and goes, I'll be divorced first for sure. Like, very seriously. Mia was great also as well.
Oh, yeah.
Mia really steps it the fuck up.
Yeah.
Like, in terms of, like, she earned the first seat that she
got. Oh, yeah. 1,000%.
So, like you mentioned, Andy then starts and goes, so there's a lot to unravel here today. Reunions are meant for hashing out the season, and while some friendships have healed and grown, others have faltered. I want to set an intention for today that as a group, each of you can find a path towards forgiveness and moving forward. So I want, like, if that is the intention, right? And to me, like, when he says, I'm setting this intention, I also think it's like, to me, it should... Like, I feel like Andy was saying without saying this whole thing, I'm looking at you guys and how you handle yourself this reunion, and it's going to judge how we move forward.
Right.
Right. And so if that is the, if, you know, I know Andy didn't vocalize that, but if that is the standard, right, if that is what this is about, right, there's people who attempted and tried to get to where Andy wanted them to get to. And there's people that outright refused. And so,
well, and what I feel like, what I feel like he was saying, because he also says something about accountability in that as well.
Yeah.
And I think what he was saying in that statement was basically, you're all fired, earn your jobs back today.
Basically. Yeah. He also adds,
show up or get out.
He also adds, because they have all the photos from the photo shoot around. He goes, NECA, I know you weren't included in the spread because you were new to Potomac.
They did her dirty with that pic.
Well, he goes, here you are from your iconic Grand Dame inauguration. I was like, that is a liberal use of the word iconic.
That is so, that, nah. You could have used her promo look. Like from the opening of the show.
Yeah.
Like that would have been matching in glamour, at least, to what everyone else did.
Something.
Like there were options. You had other pictures of this woman that were a much better fit than that bullshit.
Yeah. Andy goes, I have to say, I love this show. But as a fan, it was somewhat frustrating to watch this season because the show is about finding common ground. Is that what the show is about? Is that what
no.
I was, like, oh, that's a little like, oh, okay, Andy. And it's about taking ownership of actions as they affect others. Are any of you willing to say now that you feel prepared to do that tonight? Meaning take ownership of actions. There's like kind of a little bit of silence. Karen goes, Andy, I believe in these women. I know they went through a lot, but I do believe they can pull through. And I expect nothing less tonight. I love Karen being like, I am like, Andy, you don't have to worry about me, basically. And also, yeah. I'm the leader. Candace then goes,
it's felt very much like the principal came into the classroom mm-hmm. and said, you all fucked up. And then Karen is the teacher and is like, I agree. They fucked up.
Yep. Are we going to do better, ladies? Candace goes, I'm looking forward as well to owning what I need to own and moving forward. Straight, like, no, like, backhandedness, no, like, sort of, like, underhandedness. She's like, anything that I believe that I need to own, I will own.
Right.
Lays that out. Clear and simple. Andy then goes, anyone else? Wendy goes, count me in. And Mia goes, count me in too. More silence. I am so glad Karen does this. She goes, what about you, Giselle? Robin? Giselle goes, yeah, I'm looking forward to the ownership.
So
that should have been fire. I'm sorry. Fire. Oh my God. I hit the mic. Fire her ass right there. I'm sorry. Like,
honestly, it, like, I would have had so much respect for Andy if he had just said, okay.
You want to answer that again?
You could go home.
Yeah.
Like, get fierce with these women.
Yeah.
Like, you need to understand.
We'll get to it later where it's so obvious that Giselle, and is slightly my frustration, whether people think like, oh, she's a villain, whatever.
She thinks she's invincible.
She thinks she's invincible. She thinks she can throw her weight around with production, with the, like, she thinks she's so locked in. And I think, problem is, I think she's right.
Well, here's the thing. I think she's right when it comes to production. I don't think she's right when it comes to Bravo.
Well, we'll see.
Because those are different entities, right?
Yeah.
Like, Bravo outsources production to a production company. They are not the ones that have actual Bravo employees out there filming and doing all of those things. Eric Fuller has his team.
Not anymore.
Well, no, it's not. It's not him anymore. Right. But
Truly Original.
Yeah, Truly Original has their production team. They are contracted through Bravo. So I think she has it in with Truly Original. Yeah. I think she has those connections there that protect her.
Right.
I don't think that she necessarily has the same level of loyalty from Bravo. I think Bravo is going, well, you're an OG. Yeah. Like, we respect that.
I think Andy's keen on her, in my view. Like, I think maybe not as much as like a Kyle or like the way that Bethany used to be.
Right.
But like, I feel like Andy has a soft spot for Giselle.
I think I think a soft spot, sure, but I don't think that it's nearly as strong as what she thinks it is.
She was testing it tonight.
She was definitely testing it.
And then, so she's like, I'm looking forward to the ownership, basically everyone else's ownership. And then Karen goes, Robin? And Robin goes, sure, and shrugs. Again.
Get out.
Tell me these two aren't the problem.
Right.
With objective eyes, tell me that these two aren't the issue.
Yeah.
It's, I can't understand how people don't understand that.
Yeah, it's exhausting.
And I love Karen goes, say roll call, Andy. And then she goes, NECA's fine. They do a package about sex. So I think it was like, let's start somewhere light, right? Do you know what I mean? Andy asks Ashley about what she said about waiting for her man to fall asleep and then spit it out. And there was too much talk about swallowing. And I was, for a gay man who is like, us gay men are, you know, hedonistic animals sometimes. This, I was just like, okay, this is like.
If you need a reminder of that, go back and listen to our review we just did about Drag Race.
Yeah. It was like, man. Andy goes, has anyone taken Robin's swallowing advice? And then Mia raises her hand. Andy goes, really? You have? With the DJ? And Mia goes, he's a radio personality. I cracked up so much.
They're called DJs, ma'am.
I just... God, it was... I don't know why that made me laugh so much. She did, like, without hesitation, she's like, it's a radio personality. Thank you.
I can't.
You'll be addressed properly. Andy then asked Karen about her pausing for too long to figure out how many sexual partners she had when they talked about it on the vacation. Karen goes, well, I had to count the wet dreams. And, you know, Wendy said, you know, well, Karen, you can't have wet dreams. But I have wet dreams, Wendy. Robin thinks she can get in and goes, in other words, you can't keep track of how many people you've had sex with in the past 5 years. And without hesitating, Karen goes, no, Robin, that would be one.
Uh-huh.
Get her. That's the first, like, first blow, and Robin still keeps coming for more later. And it's just like, oh, you're just getting shut down. And she has no comeback. It's like, wow.
Yeah.
Like, you don't know what you're fucking with, Robin.
Mr. Wandering Dickson. Oh, I just can't.
It's, So, oh my God. So then we get to the Robin thing. I was so annoyed. Andy goes, well, he does his intro. Well, Robin, you were raked through the coals for hiding details about your marriage from the world. And then Robin whispers, hiding?
Yes.
And rolls her eyes. Drink in this like 10-minute segment with Robin. Drink every time she rolls her eyes at like a very basic question.
Don't, because that's called alcohol poisoning.
Right, but it's her example. It's her idea of like, I 100% don't care or whatever. It's like, if you're rolling your eyes all the fucking time and getting so angry at every, you're showing you care.
Yeah. Also going back to Bravo needing to take some ownership, they let her have that tagline.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, come on.
I think as much as production may have been on Robin's side in certain regards, there were definitely stuff that they could not control in terms. Like, this is just bad.
Yeah.
Robin is brainwashed and just like, it doesn't look good. So they do her package. Andy goes, did Juan watch back any of the season? And Robin goes, no. Of course he fucking didn't. Like, why would he? He doesn't need, like.
No. Well, he doesn't have to answer for it.
Well, yes. So Andy goes, so just to be clear, you still stand by the fact that Juan never cheated on you with Canada Girl, Coach Bree, or anyone else since you two officially got back together. Robin goes, I can't say anything for certain, as no one in this world can't say anything for certain about what other people do. Keep in mind, 10 minutes later, she will literally try to do exactly that with Candace.
Right.
Exactly that. But based on what Juan shared with me about the girl in Canada and the stuff that I had heard after the fact, I have many reasons to believe what he's telling me. Can you tell us what those reasons are? You know what I mean?
But like, that was a long way to say no, yes, I absolutely do believe he cheated on me. I just don't have proof.
Sure. Basically. Andy goes, to the group, who believes Juan's story? And Mia goes, no one. And Karen goes, none of us believe it. But Robin, and Mia goes, but Robin believes it, and that's all that matters. Like, and we have to be her friends and support her.
Fine, but I don't believe Robin believes it.
That's sure.
Like, Robin is gaslighting herself.
Right. She, I think she is going to say to the top of the high heavens that she doesn't believe it over and over and over and over again. But by her actions, it doesn't really.
Yeah.
Like, it doesn't really lend to that. You
like
know?
Her demeanor all season has been that of a severely depressed woman.
Yeah.
And last season too, like, clearly she knows
something
all of this stuff.
Yeah.
And she just feels trapped in it.
Right.
And that's sad. That's awful. But even Giselle gave you an out. Like, she gave you space to say, fuck Juan.
Yeah. I was a little, I thought Andy does a good job of, like, really sticking it to Robin this segment. But I also had a slight issue with, like, him missing certain questions. Like, yeah. And not asking certain things. I wish he asked Giselle more, honestly, about her thoughts on Juan. Because she spoke up very early in the season, right?
Yeah.
And, like, you know.
I mean, that intervention with her, Charisse, and Ashley was, I mean, I felt like that is what needed to happen, but Robin didn't respond to it.
Yeah. And also, I also, they show in the package the, like, phone conversations, right, when they were in Austin.
Yeah.
There was no question about that, because to me, like, that was, like, a pivotal scene that was, like, you know, and, like, they make it a point of just, like, Robin, like, so you trust Juanis and you think he has your back? And she's like, yeah. And they aren't, like, but that phone call.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It just was.
I think that he just realized he wasn't going to get anything out of her, and he stopped wasting his time.
She stonewalls a little bit, you know. It's not stonewalling, but it's just like the same excuse to
but
where it's like.
It's the stonewall here after stonewalling all season.
Yeah.
And he was like, okay, if you're just going to show up and do this shit again, I'm going to give you as little airtime as I can, and then you will be gone by the end of the day.
It was kind of the lady's position the season too, where it's just like, well, there's no point in even questioning her at this point, because it's like she's just going to yell and scream and whatever. Giselle goes to Robin and goes, can I ask one thing? When he said that Bree is a beautiful woman, did that bother you at all? At least Giselle's, like,
yeah.
You know, trying. And Robin goes, no, because the point was, if he had been at the laundromat with someone who was not beautiful, it wouldn't have been an issue. One, you need to stop saying that. You really aren't understanding how that sounds to just, like, normal human beings.
Well, I get the argument. I don't agree that that's what he was saying.
No, because the point. Well,
because, but I get the argument. Like, right? Like, if he had been there with a woman and had been photographed with a woman that wasn't necessarily conventionally attractive, nobody would have said that he was cheating.
I don't know if I necessarily.
Because
yes,
society
yes and no.
is so.
But my point is, what I was going to say is, they would have. I think they would have. Because of the Canada girl thing, right? Like,
maybe.
Like, you know what I'm saying?
Because it was a one in a series.
Right. It's like this is a pattern at this point. So it's not that point yet. If the Canada girl thing never happened or it wasn't even talked about, yeah, I probably wouldn't bat a huge eyelash at it in like a normal scenario. But with this, like, combined, and not just the laundromat, but going to a nail salon, and it's just like, well, like, it's too many things. Like,
yeah.
Andy goes, do you feel like he was supportive of you throughout the filming? And Robin goes, yes, he showed up. He answered questions.
Where? What question?
He, like, answered Mia's question. Like, I was like, the only one was Mia, really, who asked questions that directly to Juan, right?
Yeah.
So, whatever. You could tell Andy's pissed at this point.
Yeah.
He goes, he's not showing up tonight. And Robin goes, that's fine. Andy goes, he does not have a basketball game. Which I was like, ooh, Andy.
Yeah, call his ass out for still not having a goddamn job.
Because that was always the excuse, right?
Right.
He's coaching basketball, so therefore he can't be here. But he's out of a job.
Right.
There's no point. And Robin goes, no, he doesn't have a game. He declined to be here. So you're literally saying he could have been here. He was asked to be here, and he said, no, thank you. He's a fucking coward.
Yeah.
He's a fucking coward.
Yeah.
Wendy jumps in and goes, he doesn't know that you're going to be under fire tonight because of his actions. And Robin goes, no. How does he not know that you're...
Yeah.
And Wendy goes, the least he can do as your husband is to stand behind you and say, baby, you don't have to take all the bullets. I can take some too. Right. I loved Wendy saying that because it's like,
right.
It's also not like making Robin the bad guy. It's like, girl, this man fucking embarrassed you.
Right.
And he's just like letting you, you know.
And you want to talk about how he literally did not show up.
Yeah. And he goes, Ashley, you are in a similar position. Michael didn't want to come to many reunions. And I was like, okay, but hold on, Andy. As much as I hate that fucking gremlin.
Right.
Michael, the season with the butt grabbing and the,
right.
the wanting to suck Juan's dick and all that stuff. He showed up to that reunion.
Yeah.
He sure as fuck showed up to that reunion.
Yeah.
When Ray had his tax issues, he showed up to the reunion.
Yeah.
There's no excuse.
Ooh, what do you want to bet he never actually had an affair with Canada Girl or Coach Bree and it was all a smokescreen with Michael?
Oh, one can dream. I mean, that's kind of a nightmare, but whatever. Andy asks about Juan deleting his DMs and his messages, and Rama goes, so he has like a weird thing with his phone being cluttered.
No.
What does she mean by like he personally doesn't like his phone being cluttered or like his specific phone has a cluttering issue? It's like what? Like
she tried to make it out like he like routinely deletes things because he likes it to be clean.
It's so pathetic. And Andy goes, do you have the password to his phone? And Robin goes, no, and he doesn't have the password to mine.
That's a red flag.
That's a huge... I don't typically care about that kind of stuff, but in this case...
But, like, I literally put your face on the face lock on my phone.
Right, right, right.
Like, it's not even just that you have the password. Like, your face will unlock my phone.
Right.
Because, like, I don't have anything to fucking hide from you. Like... It's not because you routinely go through my phone.
No.
You don't. You rarely ever touch my phone.
Right.
But I wanted you to know that you could, and I had nothing to hide from you.
Yeah. They need to have each other's passwords, 1,000%.
Yeah.
Candace goes, for me, the issue was never whether or not Juan was cheating. My issue was you kept information about your marriage from the group and demanded that the group share our personal lives.
Yep.
You know, Robin then goes, can you clarify? When have I demanded anything? And Candace goes, I mean, the example that comes to mind immediately is last year in Mexico when you accused Karen of not being truthful of what's going on in her life. And Robin goes, that was after she talked about Juan holding hands in Georgetown. I didn't demand anything from her prior to that. That's not true, actually. And they play the clip of the Robin being like telling what about the Redskins jersey, like laying out that rumor. But the night before, like... They were trying to bring up the Charisse thing again, right? And push Charisse onto Karen.
Right.
Karen said, this is about my mother's funeral. I don't want to talk about that. And then they badgered her about it. And Robin called her a bullshitter and that her truth is going to come out and all that shit. Then Karen the next morning talked to Ashley about the blonde haired girl in Georgetown.
But this is not even like a routine thing, right? They have been coming for Karen since season one.
You dressed as pizza delivery people to make sure she was living in the house that she claimed she was living in.
Right.
Like, come on.
Which, fine, was fun and shady and stupid, right? We loved it.
Yeah.
But you can't act like you'd never demanded transparency from other people.
Right. Come on. Robin goes, that was not going on in my marriage while filming that season. I chose not to talk about it because it wasn't relevant. And then Karen goes, you had a whole story going on. And that's so, like, you can maybe say the thing, it happened in the off season, right? It happened, blah, blah. Happened when we weren't filming.
Which, if you go back and listen to our reviews of the end of last season, we put a timeline together. That was bullshit.
Sure.
There was overlap.
Right. There was some overlap. However, like, if you want to make that excuse, fine. But you can't, to me, the excuse of it wasn't relevant last year is bullshit.
Right.
Because your storyline last year was about you getting remarried, you filing a new prenup, and debating with yourself of whether or not to put in an infidelity clause in the fucking prenup. That is literally relevant. When you're talking about the fight over him going to this girl's hotel room.
Right.
Don't say it's not relevant.
Like that, not even reality. This is like soap opera like storytelling.
Yeah.
Clearly, you would have this fight about whether to put in an infidelity clause right before he fucking cheats on you. That's soap opera storytelling.
Yeah.
And you're going to tell me it's not fucking relevant when it's the clear, logical next step in the storyline?
Right.
Fuck you.
And he goes, don't you think that if you had gotten ahead of it and said, Juan and I had a blip about a year ago and we survived it. Robin goes, I wasn't thinking about getting ahead of a story. And then Andy goes, I know, but you were also thinking that someone else was going to bring it up because he remembers right. the interview on Watch What Happens Live where she was like, I thought Karen would bring it up. And Robin tries to be like, I didn't say you didn't think you would bring it up. I meant I wouldn't have been surprised if you. It's like, that's not what you said, first right. of all. So fuck off. Karen goes, prime example. When Raymond was going through his taxes, I put a little humor on it. And I did a press conference with no press. Which, like,
right.
I love that she called it a press conference with no press.
I mean, that's what it was, though.
Robin goes, that was a public situation. It was in the paper. And Karen goes, yours is in the paper. It was on the credit card paper. I think that the credit card paper is more important than the Washington Post. This was like Karen in full form. Like,
oh, yeah.
Andy then, okay, we were so confused, too, because Andy then asked a question from beep on Twitter. And we're like, why are we censoring like listener questions? We find out why. So,
right.
so she, and it's this question about like, how can Candace be mad about Robin keeping stuff from the show when she said at the season 3 reunion that we own the right to what we share and do not share. Here's the thing that blogger is misinterpreting and spinning, in my view, what that moment was in season 3. Because I remember it distinctly.
Educate the listeners.
Andy asked Candace, because this was Candace's first season, does Chris co-own the bar with anyone, or co-own the restaurant that he was running with anyone? And Candace goes, I'm not going to answer that. That is entirely different than this Robin situation.
Right.
Annie was asked, like she was literally asked the question. She said, I'm not going to say directly on camera for the world to see. That is entirely different than hiding something that happened in your life naturally on a season about your life.
Right. Because let's be clear, the husbands on Housewives are not cast members.
Right.
They don't, I mean, yes, they tangentially sign up to be on the show because their wives are, but they are not cast members. Their personal lives and the things that happen in their personal lives and their business dealings and whatnot
yeah.
are not within the purview of the show. Now, I will say that things like taxes are, because that affects both people because you file taxes as a couple.
Right.
And things like infidelity, that counts because that is violating the agreement of a marriage.
It's literally like, what is your social security number? Oh, you won't tell me? You're a hypocrite for critiquing Ron.
Right.
What?
It's like, whether or not Chris co-owned that restaurant with someone else, not only is revealing his private information that has absolutely nothing to do with Candace or their relationship.
Right.
But it also was possibly exposing some third party to the show that has absolutely nothing to do with the show and doesn't want their shit out there.
Yeah, and it's also, again, going back to it, that is actually not relevant.
Right.
You know what I mean? As opposed to this, which was, again, I reiterate, literally Robin's story. Anyways, so Candace goes, well, I'm not going to be answering any questions from her friend. He's a blogger. You shared proprietary information with him. And Robin goes, really proprietary? I was like, oh, really, Robin? You, like, when you're the one trying to claim that Candace's tweets were slander, give me a break. Like,
but also, like, private communications
is like
depending on what state you're on at the time, yeah, is proprietary.
Yeah,
so it's illegal to share that.
Some people were saying that Candace like flopped with this. I don't think it's like the biggest. I don't like people are like it's no Monique's binder. No, it's not no Monique's binder. But I also don't think she flopped with it because I actually think she kind of exposed Robin in certain ways.
Yeah,
at least in terms of the dialogue. Because when you pay attention, Candace says, you talked about her, your friend, meaning Giselle, in group chats with him. And Robin goes, no, I did not. So Candace goes around, pulls out the poster board. Also, this poster board trend now with like these receipts, is there a reason for it? Like, why are we doing the like giant?
It's to make it more visible to the cameras.
Well, and this sucked too because they had to blur the entire thing because clearly the blogger put out like a cease and desist or something. Like, so, yeah, I
which, you know, is something that an innocent person does.
Right. So Candace points out the video of Giselle talking about Giselle talking about like Juan yelling at her, right? Remember from whatever. She goes, "You put the video in this group chat with two bloggers that I know of, and you said, 'I'm thinking about posting this on Sunday. Does this look like someone who is mad and upset? That shit really pissed me off.'" And then like, so yes, you did like what Candace said. You talked about Giselle in a group chat with this blogger and among other bloggers. So when you're saying, "No, I did not," you're lying.
Yeah.
And then what happens is NECA then goes, "Giselle, are you mad?" And Giselle goes, "Not at all. I mean, obviously she's mad." Like, kind of like, to me, I can read Giselle when like that's not the accurate truth. Karen goes, "Did you know about it?" And Giselle goes, "Robin and I talked." And Robin goes, "Yeah, I told her." I don't believe that at all. I don't believe for a goddamn second. I believe you probably told her you were upset about comments she made about like Juan yelling at her or whatever. That I can believe, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
What I don't believe is you told her, "Hey, so I was in a group chat with bloggers talking shit about you." Guarantee you never said that. So like I said, yeah, it's not like a bombshell. Don't get me wrong. But it did expose Robin to me to be a liar. She literally said one thing and then 5 seconds later said the opposite.
Yeah. Exactly that.
Yeah. Andy asked Candace if she still believes Robin conspired with Giselle and Ashley. This is the one time I kind of wish Candace did something different this reunion and didn't think she handled this the best way. She basically goes, "I do." And everyone's like, "Oh my God, really?" And she goes, "I think she knew by talking about my business, it would keep her business under the table." I think Candace should be, here's my frustration, because I don't think, as much as they do like post reunion meetings, and it's very clear that they do them at like dinners, I don't think there's substantial enough evidence for them to sustain that Robin, Giselle, and Ashley sat together and said this, like, and mapped out a plan in terms of how to operate through the start of that next season.
Now, do I still believe that with or without the evidence? Yes, 100%.
Sure, but I don't think that's
necessarily provable. I think what is provable is that whether Robin was aware of that plan or not, Giselle and Ashley clearly were.
Sure.
And
she kind of says it where it's like, I think Robin, in the back of her mind, probably didn't speak up. There was a shift in terms of the defending of Chris, because if Chris became the focus, then there was a chance that the Juan stuff would just be swept to the side in terms of that.
Right.
And I think that's not plotting, right?
I think
the problem is she has to, I wish Candace was smarter in how she said it, where it's just like, I wish she expressly said, "I am not saying that there was a evil fortress, meaning devious scheme. I'm saying that I do feel that there have been actions that she has exhibited last year and this year that seem very calculated to me in terms of narrative and in terms of putting stuff out there, to where I think at a certain point she probably hoped in the back of her mind that this would help bury the Juan stuff to a certain extent."
Right.
I think she needs to be more specific and more clear. And
right.
I think she falls into traps because then it's like, you look like a conspiracy theorist and
which is silly, because I think anyone looking at this with open eyes knows that that's what she means and knows that she's just speaking emotionally, which I think she has every right to do.
I agree.
And it's very frustrating to see people that are willfully ignorant of what's happening because they are just standing the green-eyed bandits.
Yeah. And probably people will say the same thing about us in reverse, but whatever. It's fun. Andy goes, "What do you need from Robin to move forward?" And I want to ask you the same question, Robin, trying to mediate. Candace, of course, because again, I think it's, I don't know what her Candace's star sign is at this point, but I do think it's like a genuine, like she just has an instinct to cry. You know what I mean? She goes, I don't have any tissues. And Andy goes, I have some. This is when Giselle in the background goes,
be the fuck off.
Not tears, 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 tears. Those fake tears are coming. And the way that like it, here's my, it pissed me the fuck off too. And like Andy, the fact that Andy literally turns to Giselle at one point goes, it's kind of mean.
Yeah.
Like it's really kind of mean. Candace goes, she's a fucking bitch. That's what that is. Here, I saw some tweet. I will say this. I saw some things that I like to the slightest bit agreed with in terms of like, I saw some tweets from people being like, I rather Giselle do this than do the whole mute challenge shit like she was doing all season, right?
She's a Sagittarius.
Oh, Candace? Yeah, I think that makes sense.
Yeah.
But like, you know, can't Giselle, you know, instead of being mute, at least, like I saw people being like, at least she's embracing the villain role, right?
Yeah.
Fine. I can agree with that. And I think that if Giselle continues, I do think that would be the right thing to do from a production standpoint of like lean into the fact that this chick is a villain in my view. And I think I said this last week, I clocked it from season one, episode one. I just had a feeling about Giselle that this woman is a mean girl. She has a natural mean girl essence to her, right? I thought season one, she exhibited it a lot. I think all of her stuff with Monique, I thought was very, like, she was,
oh, yeah.
To me, she was jealous of Monique. Whatever you think about Monique, she was jealous of that girl and did everything to showcase that.
Yeah.
And so I think if it's going to be Giselle showing her more honest self, I'm fine with that to an extent. Like, I'd rather she not do, you know, this hiding of it to where I get so frustrated where it's like, I see that shit. And then it's like, well, no. And, but it's there, right? You know what I mean?
Like, just embrace being a bitch.
Right.
Like, she keeps acting like she's the arbiter of goodness. And it's like, no, fuck you. You're literally the worst human on this show.
Yeah. Candace goes, all I want from my friends is acknowledgement. I just needed her, meaning Robin, to acknowledge that there was a difference because it didn't hurt just me. It hurt Chris because Chris also considered Robin a friend. And then Andy asks Robin what she needs. And Robin goes, honestly, I don't want anything from her as far as an apology. Clearly, she thinks I plotted on her husband. I would advise if you really feel that way to not be my friend. And honestly, kind of agree with Robin there. Candace, it's a lost cause.
Sure, but that's just Robin saying, I'm not going to move forward. Fuck you, Andy. I refuse to actually do what you asked me to do.
Exactly, which I think is partly why Robin's not coming back.
Yeah, I 100% agree.
Mia goes, here's the thing. I think Robin needs self-accountability from Candace on her end. And I think Candace is looking for transparency from Robin on her end. That's what I'm hearing. Mia did a like good job of like mediating and like weaving through things. Andy asks Robin what the last word she has about her marriage. She gives this long speech about like being your friend and your ride or die. And Candace is like, that's obvious, like that you two are ride or die for each other. Well, I would argue Juan's not ride or die for her. So, you know. And then at the end, I also think this hurt Robin's chances coming back. She goes, I mean, really, y'all should do a 2-hour special on Juan Dixon's life. It's very intriguing. And Andy basically,
bitch, where?
Andy says something like, oh, really? Like, imagine if you're Andy Cohen in that moment where it's just like, he didn't show up to this reunion. He's avoiding filming constantly. He's not like being directly answered questions. And you're coming on this fucking stage and telling me maybe you should do a 2-hour, even if you're joking, maybe you should do a 2-hour special about Juan Dixon. Is he going to fucking show up for filming it?
Probably not.
Go fuck yourself. Like, I literally would be like, oh, shut the fuck up. Like,
they don't want us hosting these reunions because we would take it to these bitches.
Okay, so they do a package about like Karen trying to bring the group together and all that. Andy asks if Karen got a facelift because of her recent like Instagram posts and stuff like that. She goes, absolutely. I did a deep plane and it just looks like me. Refreshed. And Ashley goes, so is it just like face or do we do a little like, and she points to like her body and stuff like that. Karen goes, oh, just face. No, nothing on the body because I'm done with the body. My body is me. Banging. So great. Andy asked Candace if Karen is a fence humper. And I love Candace goes, well, I mean, yeah. So, yes, she is a fence humper. But she doesn't change who she is around any of us, which I think is a good distinction. Like, yeah, Karen humps the fence, but I do think it's from a mending perspective. I don't think, like, fence humping is not always bad, right? Depending on the situation, obviously, but like,
yeah.
Andy then talks about the PAVE event and how, like, it was really great on television and it got, like, a really great response. I also noticed, Andy goes, it was brave of you all to share your stories. If you pay, they go to the wide shot, Candace, like, puts her hand on Mia's knee as, like, a thing of, like, I'm here for you support, which I thought was really sweet. And I like that Candace and Mia kind, we didn't see it on the season, but it seems like Candace and Mia, at the very least, have, like, a respect for each other.
Yeah.
Like, when Mia was asked about, like, Candace leaving, like, Mia was very, like, supportive in, like, the statement and, like, rooted her on in that regard. So it's, like, I think Mia and Candace both respect each other's game at the very least.
Yeah, I respect Mia a lot, and I really enjoy her. And honestly, I feel like she's one of the most authentic housewives we've got right now.
In a weird way, because she's also a liar, but
she, like, yeah, it's weird because she, but the thing is she lies for effect.
Yeah.
And so it's like, to me, that's almost part of the assignment. You know what I mean?
Yeah, she, like, lies as she, like, when you lie as you breathe, it's very just sort of, like, flippant in a way where it's like, Giselle lies in, like, a calculated way.
And, right.
And that's not as fun.
She gives me more of, like, early Portia.
Yes.
In that I'm going to lie, but, like, I'm also going to be weirdly authentic and really, like, serve it the entire time. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
there's, like, a level. It's weird. It's hard to explain, but it's a vibe. And if you get it, you get it.
Mia then also says that her and Jacqueline are closer now. So, like, good. And that's,
I would be happy with Jacqueline joining the show.
1,000%. I think she'd be a great addition.
Yeah.
Andy then goes, okay, so Giselle, you blamed Candace for death threats that you received. Why did you choose to not confront her on it during the season? Which I love that that's the way she led the question.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't think Annie is fully, like, Team Giselle here in terms of some of the questions. Giselle then goes, I was told that she would be talked to.
By who?
By who?
Who told you that?
Who, yeah, exactly. Who told you that? That is so illuminating.
Yeah, huh?
That she's like, I expected someone on production or someone on Bravo to talk to her and punish her for it. Like, wow. Because she can't be talking about, like, Karen. I was like, maybe she's talking about Karen because she brought it to Karen. But, like, the tone was very clearly like a, like, I'm sorry.
It was like, I took it to HR.
Yeah. I was going to say, it was like, I'm going to speak to the manager.
Oh, well, yeah, that too.
Candace goes, I want to know how it's my fault that people are crazy enough to threaten her life. And Giselle goes, many people directly said, oh, you are a colorist and I'm coming to kill you. Like, okay, but I would argue, like, Candace talks later about how, like, it is a thing that every one of us on this couch gets. We all get death threats. And I guarantee you, in all of those death threats, they cite stuff being talked negatively about that person from the fucking show. I'm sure Candace gets death threats where they say, you're aggressive, you're antagonistic, you're this, and, like, you know what I mean?
But the thing is that Candace is not the first person to talk about colorism on this show.
Right, that's the other thing. It was literally talked about from season fucking one.
Like, you can't, like, when half of the first season focused on whether or not Katie was black enough to call herself black.
Yeah.
Like, you can't, come on.
We're not delusional.
Really? We're not stupid. Colorism has been the central storyline of this whole fucking show for 8 seasons. And Candace wasn't even here that first season.
Yeah.
So, like, you can't act like she's the one that started this.
Yeah. Giselle goes, as I watch the show, it's fuck Giselle. Fuck Giselle. Giselle's an imp. Giselle's the devil. Giselle is evil. Giselle is raggedy ass. Nasty ass Giselle. Giselle should be fired. And without missing a beat, Candace goes, all true. But also, like, what is that? Like, so Candace can't talk shit about you on the fucking television show?
Right.
What does that mean? Like, what? Again, if Candace is saying she should die, send her death, or even right. like that, that is fine. Like that is what I'm seeing. Like, would be like, yeah, that's too far.
Right. But she's not even mentioned like violence,
right?
Let alone like actual like death. Like she has literally just said, this is a bad person. Right. I do not like this person. I want nothing to do with this person.
And you also think Candace is a bad person. I'm talking about Giselle.
Right.
Think Candace is a bad person. Maybe you don't have the same language because you don't have the same vernacular to actually combat right. with that. But like, so what's the difference? I don't get it.
There's not a difference. The difference is that Giselle's colorism is an observable fact. And she's mad that the audience is calling her on that shit, even though the audience is going entirely too far.
She's defaulting. Here's my problem. She's defaulting on victim.
Right.
She's like, let me victimize myself. And Giselle's not a victim. Sorry.
Which is reading very white woman.
Yeah.
Again, leaning into the colorism.
She goes, Andy goes, let me ask, the people tweeting this stuff to her, are you liking the tweets? And Candace goes, I've liked some tweets. When they show a tweet from a viewer, which isn't a death threat or whatever, it's literally just a like critique about like why what Giselle is exhibiting is colorist.
Right.
So why can't, okay, this is also not just a Candace issue. This is like a cross Bravo in certain ways. Why is liking tweets the like biggest offense in the world? You do confessionals on the television show where you talk shit about people that they don't get to hear until it's played. Why the fuck is liking a tweet a big issue? If the tweet, if what's contained in the tweet is simply a critique, right? And not right. violence, harassment. Why is that a problem?
Right. Well, and people also are like, there was a creator on, I think, TikTok who went on a rant about the show. And was like, we really need to like get rid of some of these lighter skinned women. And it was a darker skin.
Oh, I saw that clip. Yeah,
it was a darker skinned black guy. It was like, we need to get rid of these lighter skinned women who were causing the issue.
And that
right?
was stupid. Yeah.
But people are like, well, isn't that just as colorist? And I'm like, do y'all sound like white people screaming about reverse racism?
Sure.
It doesn't work that way. And you know it doesn't.
Yeah.
Colorism is specifically against darker skinned people.
And I'll go back to it.
You
too.
Cannot be a victim of colorism as a lighter skinned person.
Yeah. And also, like, going back to it too, it wasn't even just a thing about Giselle treats people differently. It was about the treatment she receives versus others. That right. was the dialogue. Like, I don't like people are dense in terms of that, in my view. Also, by the way, like, people like Andy saying, are you liking tweets that people are sending to her? Giselle isn't even on Twitter, by the way. She's not on Twitter. She doesn't tweet nothing.
Right.
So, like, what is she talking about in terms of, like, and also, how is she knowing that, like, Candace is liking tweets all this time if people aren't, like, either sending right. it to her or maybe she has a burner account? I don't know.
She probably has a burner account and vanity searches.
Yeah. Candace goes, it's no different than her going on her podcast and talking about me. Giselle goes, we talked about Candace and her husband one time because it was on the blogs. Okay, and there was shit on the show. What's the...
But it constantly got replay. You also talked about her husband in terms of as what... And if I remember the quote, was maybe not exact words, but what I know of Chris, yes, he did cheat.
Yes.
Which also lends in to your allegations against him in the first place.
Right. It's like,
which you then deny in 5 minutes.
Right.
So stop.
Candace goes, laughing and joking and adding sauce to a lie. And Robin goes, nobody laughed. Oh yeah. You reported it, Robin, like serious news reporters, just like reporting out the facts of fuck off. And then she goes, you know, laughing and joking at a lie at a rumor. Robin then goes, so the screenshots are photoshopped? And Candace goes, I don't know what you're talking about. The screenshots of your husband's limp penis and the multiple voice memos they exchange back and forth? Wow, Robin. Fucking wow.
Even Andy called her on that shit being proven to be fake because the woman came out and said, yeah, I faked it. And then Robin tried to pass off this line.
She rescinded that.
She said she did. It was no. Fuck you, Robin.
Even NECA goes, I don't think that woman has any credibility.
Right.
Which is why I was like, okay, NECA, good. I'm glad that you're being objective. Yeah. You know what I mean? But it was like, holy shit, Robin, you're so fucking stupid.
Yeah.
You don't even realize that you're proving Candace's point from earlier.
Yeah.
You're proving the conspiracy theory. To me, you're proving. Why the fuck are you doubling down on a rumor that was debunked already? Yeah. Other than to take the stink off you. Juan's not the cheater. Chris is the cheater. And it's also like throwing Chris under. Like, it's one thing that you don't like Candace, right?
Right.
Chris was your friend.
Right.
Throwing Chris under the bus like that is just so nasty to me and gross. And just like shows who you are, Robin. It really fucking shows who you are.
Yeah.
And we know from the preview, she's going to then double down again and bring it up to Chris, to his fucking face when Chris comes out. You're dense. You're so fucking dense. Like, ugh.
It's exhausting.
Yeah. And me, even like NECA said, she has no credibility. And Mia goes, she doesn't have all the marbles, talking about the girl. Karen goes, she said she lied. And I'm sorry, we are above anyone that would lie on any of us. The fact that Karen calling it out, like using fucking liars on the internet to try to like make, like, it's gross.
Yeah.
It's fucking gross. Andy goes, okay, so like we're breaking in 15 minutes and I just want to see if we can get somewhere with Candace and Giselle. And Mia goes, good luck. Like,
yeah,
Mia, I was with Mia where it's just Andy, abandon it, abandon it. And Candace kind of says essentially that, which she just like, because not even just terms of the season, right? Not even just terms of last season, just Giselle's conduct in the last like 15 minutes of this reunion, right?
Yeah.
Candace goes, Andy, honestly, I've seen and heard enough. We started the reunion and you charged us with being honest, being open, and doing what we could to move forward. She has expressed through her actions and her words that she is not interested in moving forward. And Giselle pulls like a face. Mia goes, I don't think she said that. It's not that she, yeah, Giselle.
Actions and words, actions not just and words.
Every indication from the season, Giselle has made it very fucking clear. Yeah. She doesn't want to look at Candace and Wendy. She doesn't want to talk to Candace and Wendy.
Wendy hasn't even been brought up at this point.
Yeah.
Because that's a whole different ball of wax.
Yeah. And he goes, I just wonder, and he says this to Giselle, I just wonder if there is one thing you can both be accountable for to each other. Giselle then goes, sure. I was informed last reunion, and she's doing this like flippant like tone right. That's so fucking like not genuine. She goes, I hate that we're rehashing this again, that they did not like the sneaky link comment. I apologized for that. Ignoring the fact that you were doubling, like you didn't just find out at the reunion they didn't like the sneaky link comment. I said that at the time. I'm like, you bullshit.
Yeah. Yeah.
Andy goes, okay, is there anything else that you, because Andy realizes that that was bullshit. Andy goes, okay, is there anything else? Because you've established that happened. And Giselle raises her voice to Andy and goes, I haven't done anything else to her. I haven't talked to her. Why? Like yelling at Andy Cohen.
You know, he signed your checks, bitch, right?
Yeah. Giselle goes, the end. And Candace goes, she's done nothing else to me. The end. Like, Candace at one point was like, Andy, can you fucking see what the problem is?
Yeah.
Like, you know what I mean? Like, Andy then brings up Candace's tweet after the Pave event episode aired about her issues watching it when Giselle accused Chris of sexual assault last season, et cetera, et cetera. And then they get into this whole debate about, like, is it wrong to accuse him, Giselle, of saying that she was sexually assaulted? And Candace is like, she accused him multiple times of sexual assault throughout the season. And Candace should have said even more specifically, like, because she said it last year. It's like, she spread a rumor that fucking Chris rubbed his hand on Deborah's ass.
Right.
Out of nowhere.
Right.
So Not to mention the fact that the logical conclusion of what she was asserting about the hotel room, right?
Right. She never actively said, Chris raped me. She never said that.
Right.
Right. But she definitely alluded to the fact that that was his intention.
Right.
She definitely acted as if she narrowly escaped some predator. Yeah. And she treated him and spoke about him as if he were a predator.
Yeah. And he goes, so Wendy, in a court of law, is that considered sexual assault? And Giselle goes, NECA's the lawyer. Also, did you realize NECA's the lawyer? I never knew that throughout the season.
Nope. Didn't know that.
And Wendy goes, and he's the host. God. And he goes, or sorry, Candace goes, accusing him of forcing her to go into her hotel room. And Giselle goes, never said he forced me. Never said he forced me. And then we get into this. This was infuriating. You can attend. I was out of my chair being like, oh my God, play the clip. Play the clip where she fucking said it.
Yeah, it's exhausting.
Giselle goes, I didn't say forced. I said he asked me. No, you fucking didn't. NECA then goes, but Giselle, can you say Chris didn't sexually assault you? Maybe that will make her happy, right? So she's like, NECA's literally being like, Giselle, just say in this moment, Chris did not sexually assault me. It would be nice if you went even further and said, Chris didn't even attempt to sexually assault me.
Right.
But instead, Giselle goes, what I said is the man asked me to go into a room and he made me uncomfortable. The fact that you won't even fucking say it, that it wasn't sexual assault or attempted sexual assault, is the point that Candace is making.
Right. Also, to point out, Wendy may not have law degrees, but she has a bachelor's degree in political science from Temple University and a master of arts degree in government from Johns Hopkins. So she does have a degree in what it takes to create laws.
Sure.
So I think she fucking knows law and how laws are worded. And how laws are created.
And again, was news to me that NECA was a lawyer. So I would have probably defaulted to Wendy as well. Giselle goes, I have not lied about a thing. And Candace goes, you're a big ass liar. And Giselle goes, oh, is it name calling time? It's name calling time. Oh, it's name calling time. Oh my, she's just like, it. Like I said, this is at least mask off Giselle, right? Like it's like oozing out of her pores. Yeah. How much of a fuck, like she could play Regina George at this point.
No, cause she's not cunty enough to be Regina George.
Yeah.
Like Regina George is at least like fierce. Like I get nothing. Giselle's pathetic.
Right. She goes, he knew my room was empty. He asked Bullshit. Me to
You
go.
Didn't know your room was empty.
Right. Exactly. So, and you agreed before any of that. Like, by your own first telling of the fucking story, Giselle. But also to say, he knew. Like, again, you are ascribing intention to what he fucking did.
Also, if we remember the original story, is that you walked into the room, saw that it was empty. You asked to leave the door open. And he said, actually, that's fine. And in fact, I'm just going to leave.
Yeah.
He didn't even stay there with you because he knew that that was inappropriate.
Right. Karen, thank God for Karen. Because Karen goes to Candace and goes, so are you referring to the interview or the confessional where she said, made me go? Thank God someone said it. Because like what felt like 5 minutes of Giselle
gaslighting.
Going, I never said forced. I said asked. I said asked. I said asked. I said asked. And I'm literally screaming at the TV. You didn't. You said made. You literally said made.
Literally. Well, and the thing is that Candace says yes. And then Giselle doubles down again.
Andy goes, in an interview, but you said made me. And Giselle goes, no, I didn't. And Andy literally has to go, the producers are telling me in my ear that you did. And they
exactly.
And they finally play the clip of it. It's like, oh my God. That's my frustration. It's like, it's pulling. If the intent, my frustration of like who owned who, whatever, who won the reunion, whatever. If the intention that Andy set in the beginning of the fucking reunion about ownership and moving forward and all that stuff was the intention that it was, these people are living up to it or not. And at the end of the day, it's like pulling blood from a fucking stone to get Giselle to own anything.
Yeah. Well, and I honestly kind of wish that Andy would just like stop all of the back and forth and say, this is what happened. This is what you said.
Right.
Period. End of story. We are not discussing what was said and what wasn't because we have it on tape. So this is what was done. This is what was said. Do you own up to that? And do you say that you were sorry for that?
Right.
Yes or no. That is all you need to say. Yes or no.
Giselle then, as soon as like Andy, like as soon as it's clear as day, she said made and not asked, which she had doubled down on multiple times. Once it's fully obvious, Giselle then goes, so what about all the things she tweets about me? No, fucking like you're not going to reroute this.
Right. Right. It doesn't matter what she tweets.
Yeah.
You made an accusation against her husband. Yes or no. Do you own up to that? And do you apologize for it? That is what we are talking about. Yes or no. No talking around it. No dodging. No orienting the conversation. Yeah. Yes or no. Are you sorry?
Yeah.
No, great. Now we can move forward.
Wendy, some people were annoyed with Wendy by this, but I didn't mind it as much. Wendy says to Candace, if Giselle holds herself accountable, what are you willing to do to hold yourself accountable for? Because she, I think Wendy actually wants to mend this group. Genuinely. Candace goes, I can hold myself accountable for the response. Candace isn't hesitating in terms of like vocalizing the thing that she needs to apologize for. It's like she's not hesitating at all in terms of it, which is honestly really impressive for me because I used to hate Candace in terms of, I also felt years and years and years past, Candace didn't always take ownership for things. Right. I think she's doing her job here and being professional and showing she can move forward.
But needs to come after an apology from Giselle.
And that's what Wendy was saying.
Because that's the order of events.
Right. But it, like she's doing it in the face of just like absolute arrogance from Giselle.
Right. Well, and not just arrogance, but denial and what is it called when you...
Obstinance.
When you obscure... there's an F in
obfuscate.
The word. Yes. There we go. Obfuscate. Whatever that is. You know what I mean. Get a dictionary. Look it up.
Yeah. So Andy then... says, Giselle, can you apologize? And Giselle goes, so if I said that I didn't know what was happening no, he asked me. He didn't make me. He asked me. She also, she's saying, by the way, she's saying this to Andy. She's not saying this to Candace, by the way.
Right.
Like, and again, there's no, I'm sorry. It's just like, no, I meant, no, he asked me. He didn't make me.
So you
That's
are
all she gets.
So now you are just reducing this to I chose a wrong word. Oops.
Yeah.
Not that word choice alluded to labeling this innocent man as a sexual perverted creep.
Yeah. NECA goes, can you accept that, Candace? And Candace goes, sure. Because Candace knows...
Because she's tired.
Because it's fake. It's so fake on... like.
I think that was the moment she decided she was quitting.
Yeah, I really do think so. I really think so.
Because I wouldn't stay after all of...
Candace thing... But again, all that time it took to Giselle to just simply say, he asked me, not made me. All that time it took. It's then Candace's turn. Candace goes, I understand that you were upset. And she looks Giselle in the eye, which Giselle couldn't even give her. I understand you were upset by my choice of words referring to you about the stuff from last year's reunion.
Right.
I should not have used those words to describe you.
Right.
Plain, like, without equivocating or anything. Apologizes for it. She goes, I'm sorry that your children have dealt with death threats. And Giselle goes, not randomly. Not randomly. Shut the fuck up. Oh, I hate her. Oh, I hate her. Candace then goes, I don't take responsibility for the death threats because we have all received them at the hands of things that us have said. But I am sorry that was happening to you.
Because Giselle is acting like Candace went out and hired these people to send her death threats.
It's so fucking... And then even like Ash, she's like, okay, that's a good first step. And Giselle goes, well, she doesn't take responsibility. Giselle is a lost fucking cause in terms of this. And yes, Candace, I support you in your decision to not come back to the show because you shouldn't have to be around this fucking asshole. This fucking moron who is clearly being either protected by production or the network. And it's just fruitless at this point. There's no point. There's no fucking point.
There's the, honestly, like, I feel like if we could reframe this show around Karen, Mia, and Wendy.
Sure.
Maybe NECA. I'm fine with bringing NECA back. I think the second half of the season, she gave enough to come back for a second season. That could be a good basis for a new cast. Bring in Mia's friend.
Jacqueline.
Charisse and Camilla. Kiana. Camilla. Who was Camilla?
Oh, I don't know.
I don't know. It's in my brain. I'm sorry. There's 80,000 names. Kiana.
Yeah.
She was great. I think that would be a solid cast to repurpose this show around.
Yeah, I agree.
Because I don't think Giselle deserves the spot that she has
anymore on this cast. No, she definitely doesn't.
I think Candace is just done at this point, and it wouldn't matter if they asked her back or not. I think she would just be tired at this point. And she deserves to be able to walk away at this point. And fuck Robin.
Fuck Robin. Andy then goes, so Karen, you claim to be neutral. And Karen goes, I am. I'm for what's right. And then Andy goes, you do seem to always be coming for Robin a little bit. And Karen goes, you know, that's something Robin and I do very well with one another.
Well,
Karen really be like, because I don't fuck with her. That's the thing.
Yeah.
And then I don't know what Andy was trying to do here, but he goes, Robin, can you say three nice things about Karen? Oh my God.
Like, I hate when they do this.
I hate, because it's like, and it's, that was also my frustration where it's like, okay, I think if you want to fix this group, really, Andy, you got to get to the root causes of problems. You can't just be like, say something nice about the other person. Like, they're
it's fucking, very kindergarten.
Yeah. It's like, that's not how that works. Like, I don't know. Karen goes, oh, she doesn't have to. But Robin goes, okay, Karen's witty. She looks great, 60 or 40 or 30 or 20. And she's a great mother. Like, okay.
It's such superficial shit.
Yeah. But then Andy's like, okay, Karen, can you do the same? And Robin goes, no, she can't. And Karen goes, no, you can't speak for me. I'm not you. She goes, she's a good friend to Giselle. She really is. Robin rolls her eyes. It's like, why are you rolling your eyes? It's like she was preemptively ready for Karen's shady comment, but she started to. It's like, that's not a shady comment that you're a good friend of Giselle, unless you fucking like know like the
now. If Karen had said she's a good friend to Giselle,
yeah.
Now that's shady,
right?
But she didn't say it like that.
She goes, Robin is intelligent. She is.
I will disagree with her on that.
She's interestingly strategic in her woe is me cries and growls and goes, oh God. Which like, but I was like, okay, get her, Karen. She goes, but overall, Robin's a very nice person. And Robin takes this as her moment. She goes, tell me this. If your friend took to social media and watched, she thinks she's going to make some point and watch what happens live and repeatedly told the world that you were in cahoots with other people to plot on your husband, would you be okay with that? And Karen,
I love how this got turned back around on Candace somehow.
For some reason, as if like, whatever. And Karen goes, well, and also it's like, am I not allowed to be mad? Karen makes the point of just like, it's not that you aren't allowed to be mad. It's the way you're being mad and the way you're expressing it. Because Karen goes, that's been done to me and I'm still smiling with each and every one of you. And Robin goes, no, it hasn't. And Karen goes, it has another shape or form it has.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yes. The specific instance, Robin, hasn't happened. But Karen's been taking it to and has been able to laugh it off.
Yeah. Since season one.
And that's why I love Karen, right?
Yeah.
Karen goes, my point is I rise above it because the objective is to bring the best of us to the viewing audience. Basically being like,
yeah, it's like, we're here to make an entertaining goddamn show and y'all are sitting here making it very difficult.
Yeah. Robin goes, this is not even humping the fence at this point. Karen goes, I am the fence. Robin, I'm not on trial. You are. Robin goes, when it comes to me, you can't objectively look at things. Oh, if that's not the pot calling. You literally, like, am I?
What have you seen objectively this the last couple of years? You don't look at your husband objectively.
Yeah, but also, like, you and your buddy spent all the finale trying to see, make the idea when Candace got a drink thrown on her, why it was Candace's fault.
When neither of you were there to even see it.
Like, Robin goes, because I have a problem with you. 1 minute you're putting a boombox on the table, calling me out on Andy Cohen's show to tell your story, but then you're sitting on the side of the curb crying and wanting me to care. Which I was like, yes!
Yeah.
It's like, you can't be villain and victim, girl. You can't do it. Robin goes, so you don't hump the fence. And Karen goes, I don't hump the fence. I am the fence. And I've told you that. Had you come to my farm, the girls would tell you that I built an 80-foot fence, 8 feet high, because I am the fence.
Oh, I love her.
God, like, Karen, you, like, yes, the DUI was bad, but, like, you cannot do any wrong in my eye when you are on point like this. Okay, they end up breaking for lunch, and oh my fucking God. Gordon is there in the dressing room with Mia as Mia's like FaceTiming Ink, being like, hey, babe.
Like, and they're talking to each other like they're old friends.
Gordon's like, hey, man, how's it going? Wild. Insane.
What?
Cuckoo banana pants. Like, oh, man. Mia's got balls. I'm sorry. Mia has balls of steel. Yep. They go back on stage. Andy goes, okay, so let's talk about Mia. And Mia goes, oh, great. Like, she's like, I'm ready. My favorite part was they do the Mia package, and they play the confession. When Karen confronted Robin, or Karen confronted Mia about being with the rapper, and Mia's confessional goes, and going, first of all, it's not a rapper. And then Candace turns to Mia and goes, that, I went to the moon when you said that. That was so good. So we get some details of like what's happened since. Mia has a penthouse right now in DC. Gordon is currently living in Charlotte, but he is relocating right across the streets in his own like penthouse to be.
So he relocated from DC to Charlotte and is now moving back to DC.
Well, I think he wasn't he in Charlotte for like work or something, or like because they had a proper, but they lost. I thought they lost that property too. I don't know. It's confusing. I'm still somewhat confused about a lot of this, like,
stuff. Yeah.
Oh, my God. They show, because Andy asked about, like, Ink and, like, when they first got together. They show an old photo of Mia and Ink, and I was like, oh, wow. Like,
are we sure that was Mia? Because that don't look like Mia.
I mean, that work was good that she's gotten done, but it's, like, it's kind of on, like, Larsa Pippen level. Because it's, like, that's a new person.
Yeah. Well, and it's not even like she looked like she was a pretty young girl.
Yeah.
Like, I don't understand. Like, look, I am not gonna shame somebody for doing what they want to do to their body.
Correct.
But like, I don't understand, because you were already beautiful. Like, I don't understand why you felt the need.
Yeah, and so, but I mean, she was also in an industry where
that's like, fair. You know, I mean,
very like looked down upon. Andy goes, why did you break up? And Mia goes, he went back to Atlanta because he wanted to pursue his career in radio. And I wasn't willing to have my job, you know, leave my job. And, you know, at the time I was going to school, and distance really played a role in terms of us not working, basically. So,
yeah,
like it wasn't from like, that's when you get into a new marriage and you still have that, that can be a problem.
Yeah.
Andy asks about keeping in touch with Ink during the marriage. And Mia goes, we had kept in touch and, you know, here and there, but, you know, nothing serious. There was only one occasion where we rekindled the flame. It also really illuminates when Wendy, the fight last season about like talking about like me and my husband don't go around and, you know, sleep with other. Like the fact that Wendy was like kind of spot on now in retrospect, like that's like kind of interesting.
Well, but that was part of the thing with Jacqueline, right? Is that Gordon wanted to bring Jacqueline in
as
a permanent third. Cause she didn't say that last season, but this season she talked about how he wanted a permanent third.
She doesn't say it's Jacqueline, right?
No, but
one plus one is two. Yeah.
Two plus two is four. Water is not wet. Water makes things wet. But you know what I mean.
Yeah. Wendy, I thought this timing from Wendy was a little sus. It was like, okay, Wendy, you just, it's like she like raw dogged it with no lube when she like fucking said this. Wendy goes, Mia, can I say something about that? And I'm just telling you this full disclosure because I don't know who Gordon's talking to and what Gordon is saying. But one of the things that Gordon did say, I'm assuming in the conversation with Eddie over the phone,
probably,
was that Ink came to your house and was trying to take Jeremiah because he believed that that was his son. Like, that is like, wow. Also, can we get a paternity test?
Yeah, honestly, like, somebody call Maury. Like, get a paternity test. Let's figure this out. Somebody's running around backstage with the camera chasing them.
Yeah.
It's great. It'll be wonderful.
And Mia does confirm that Ink does still think that Jeremiah is his son. And it's like...
And part of me wonders if that story was told to Ink to keep him engaged.
Maybe.
Part of me thinks maybe that is real. Maybe Jeremiah is his kid. But we don't know. You need to, like, get it tested.
Yeah, you really
just
got to.
Just cut out the doubt. Because at least the younger one is Gordon's. We know that, right?
Right.
So, like, come on.
Like, I would, again, going back to the Maury comparison, I would just be scared by Mia if it's, like, the big Maury moment where it's, like, you are not the father. Also, you are not the father. And it's, like, who the fuck is the father? You know what I mean?
Oh, jeez.
Like, that, like, it's messy. And we're going to get into it more next week, obviously, with the Mia stuff. Like, we only got a taste, but, yeah, it's going to be really good. That was the Potomac reunion for this week. We're going to take a quick commercial break, and then when we come back, we're talking the newest episode of Summer House, Martha's Vineyard. Don't go anywhere.
Well, hello, friends. I'm your pal in the mainstream media.
And I'm your Riz.
And, you know, Riz, it takes years of strenuous, dedicated training before you're worthy to step inside a professional wrestling ring. But it takes even more time to develop complex, highly astute opinions about professional wrestling. Am I right?
That is correct. Yes. And you know where we can find that?
Yes.
On the Wrestling Mayhem.
That's right.
I'm Eamon.
I'm Merlin.
And if you're anything like us, you live your life out loud.
And when it comes to issues of discrimination, inequity, and outright bigotry, we use every platform we have to speak out against systems of oppression that perpetrate violence against marginalized groups.
That's why we are so proud to wear designs from the Survivors Know merch store. Their team has created designs that feature unapologetic, empowering, and survivor-centered messaging that range from mild,
like accountability is love and toxicity is not on the menu,
to a little more spicy,
like one of my favorites, fuck your laws, fuck your system, transformative justice now, which has a cute little happy flower on it.
Each design is available on a variety of items, from t-shirts and hoodies to bags, blankets, magnets, and even stickers. And as more items become available, the options will continue to grow.
100% of the proceeds go back into supporting the amazing work done at Survivors Know to support survivors, workers, and survivor advocates by organizing, challenging the status quo, and creating alternatives to the systems that fail us.
Support Survivors Know by shopping today at survivorsknow.threadless.com.
That's survivorsknow.threadless.com.
Sidekick Media Services. We are your sidekick in business for social media, video production, and more. Find out more at sidekickmediaservices.com.
Welcome back to A Gay and His Envy. Let's head back to Massachusetts, where Shanice gets poor shamed, and Nick has to be told to keep his hands to himself on Summer House, Martha's Vineyard.
New episode of Summer House, Martha's Vineyard for this week. I'm loving this show right now.
Honestly.
In a world in which, like, there's a lot of, like, just kind of dark topics on, like, Bravo shows right now, especially, like, there's a lot of, we'll get to in our episode out tomorrow about, like, all the Vanderpump Valley stuff. It's like, this is just like light, stupid fights. Like,
oh yeah,
you hinted at the Nick stuff. Even the Nick thing is not even like the worst thing.
Right.
Like, but it's just like good fun and good entertainment. And it's just like a really, really great cast of people. And
right.
I'm really enjoying it. So we pick up where we left off last episode, where everyone's just like turning up on the boat and celebrating. And then they head back to the house. where they're going to get ready for a decades theme party, which apparently none of them
prepared for.
Like, it's like they clearly had like the plan laid out of just like, okay, we're going to do these different events, and they were just like didn't think of anything. Like, I think Alex, can we just like stop by a thrift store or something to like?
Yeah, to the point that Amir didn't even pack anything slightly and just dressed as Nick.
Yeah. Which is not a bad idea if you're going to pick anyone on the cast. Like,
I mean, I guess.
Oh, my God. This is also Shanice's episode. Like, Shanice is, like, every... Like, you know it's a great Shanice episode when she's, like, got her tits out, like, three times. Like,
oh, yeah.
It's a lot. But in the car, she's just like, God, I'm so mad I didn't get dick before I came here. And then she's just asking around to everyone, like, how long have you gone without sex, basically?
Like, which is funny though, because she frames it as how long have you gone without dick.
Oh well, yeah.
Which there's straight guys in the car.
Alex is like, I'm
here
too.
Changes. Well, but she doesn't rephrase the question to him. She just says, "How about you?" And it's like, okay.
Preston literally goes, "Shanice loves dick. I love dick. Who doesn't love dick?" I'm like, at least like half the population, sort of
ish.
We then get back to the house and they're hanging out and getting ready. Bria and Summer are on the hammock together, and Bria talks how Simon is apparently coming on Friday. So we're going to get to see Simon again this season.
Oof.
He's been in Germany and they have been, you know, been distant for about a month, and it's hard doing like the long distance stuff for Bria. She's like, you know, I have dick withdrawal, you know, dick withdrawal is a thing, you know, get yourself a dildo.
Girl,
like this speaks to the amazingness of the show. Like, 5 weeks in and we're, or 5 weeks in, 5 minutes in and we're already talking about like dicks like three times. It's great.
Yeah.
And then I love that they're having this conversation just about like, oh yeah, I'm so excited that Simon's coming over. And then Summer, like out of the blue, goes, dude, Jasmine's pregnant.
And she's like, what?
And she goes, dead ass. She always has, you know, had boobs, but I'm like, these are like swollen right now. So I love that Summer immediately clocked it. Like, yeah. No drink. Like, it was like, it's
pretty obvious. I like,
Bria goes, that's what happens when guys get deployed. They go and get you pregnant and then they leave, which it's like, I mean, I do think that's like a not so uncommon occurrence. I think Bria is kind of right about that, which, yeah. I'm like, yeah, can you prep a little bit? I mean, I don't know how, I mean, I'm not a military person to where I don't know how like quick the process is of like, oh, you're going, but like, yeah, you got to time that shit out a little bit better.
But I mean,
cause he's gone like the entire run of her pregnancy. I think
that's on purpose.
Oh, you think?
Yeah. Really? You really think that Silas would do well with a pregnant Jasmine?
So you're saying it's like an intention. Oh, do you think it's just a Silas thing, or is it like an intentional
thing?
No,
it's an intentional thing, because pregnant people are going through like this influx of hormones. They need a lot more care and attention from their partners. And military
Silas can't give that without being pregnant.
You know, exactly. Yeah. He doesn't give a shit about her. Yeah. He tied her down because I guarantee you they were on the verge of divorce.
Mm-hmm.
And then he got her pregnant.
That's
and
great,
then shipped off.
That's a great question for Jasmine. Was this planned?
Yeah.
Was this a planned pregnancy?
I don't think it was. At least not by her.
Yeah. Well, that's an interesting thing. It's so weird to say like he locked her down, because like typically, but like...
Yeah.
Yeah. Amir is in the kitchen with Preston, and Amir asked if he's doing okay with like his dad stuff. He's like, I know you're okay, but I just want to.
Yeah.
I thought it was really. I love Amir. I'm sorry. This whole episode, I was very like sweet on him this whole time. And Preston's telling him, like, yeah, it's just like my first reaction when he passed wasn't like sadness. And then he talks in his confessional about like, even when my father and I reconnected, I would say like, I'm gay. And he's like, I didn't raise my child to be gay. And I'm like, well, you didn't raise me at all. The gall of that motherfucker. Like,
yeah. Number one, you don't raise your children. If you're raising your children to have any sort of sexuality,
that's a problem.
That's a problem. They're children.
Mm-hmm. But we can't sexualize them, right? Like, if they know about gay people existing, that's what's going to sexualize them.
Right. We'll get to that later when we talk about Michelle on The Valley.
The Valley, yeah.
You act like putting a toddler in a onesie that says ladies man is not just as disgusting.
Sure.
But that's normal. That's normal. It is normal to sexualize an infant boy.
Yeah.
As long as it is sexualizing him in a straight way.
That's okay. And it's also just the fact of like, but in this case in particular, like, why the hell would you think that when you are completely out of my life, you've not raised me, you've not like instilled anything in me, you've had no relationship with me in my life, that then you get to dictate anything to me at that point?
At all.
I felt like when Preston said that, I was like, oh, it's even more illuminating, like why there was such a like sort of no reaction, knows like, you know.
Yeah.
You know, because it's like, how dare you? How fucking dare you?
Yeah.
I just get the gall of people. Oh my God. It's so Nick is in his bed, like dead drunk asleep at this point.
Jeez.
Meanwhile, Shanice is twerking in the pool, which is just like, I think her natural state at this point. It's amazing. So Preston brings Nick like a glass of orange juice to try to like sober him up or whatever. And the way Nick like looks at the orange juice and just like slowly smile, like that slow, like drunk smile.
Have you seen that video of the girl that is like falling down drunk and her friend gives her a shot of water and then she like looks at it with like that glee and then she takes the shot and she's like, yeah, that was great. And they go, that was water. And she goes, you bitch. You know what I'm talking about?
Right.
That's what this gave me.
A little bit.
It gave me very much that I'm desperate for more alcohol. Is this a mimosa?
Yeah.
I was like, dude, really? You need to get that checked. Yeah. Like, there are meetings.
And then like Nick then is so drunk that he literally sits on the bed because the guys are having a conversation in the room. He sits on the bed on top of his own clothes, and Amir's like, "Who the hell are you at this point?"
Yeah,
like the man who like steams like all and has like two outfits a day. It's like, no,
and also took over all of the closet space downstairs.
Yeah, exactly. Amir asks Alex about Summer and the conversation they had on the boat. Alex is like, you know, I just think there's a difference of expectations. Like, she's been like clinging to the idea that like we're supposed to be something, which, yeah. And I'm Summer is definitely not a chaos agent, but she's definitely like, she has two sides to her. I will say that. I don't ever love, I typically love to root for the woman in terms of like these scenarios, but this moment Summer says things out of two sides of her mouth
a little bit. Yeah.
And so Amir goes, the way, and this is the only moment where I was like, oh, and Amir, you're kind of annoying. The way he says in the confessional, the way Summer is expressing her frustration, it's not just about a party invite. It's true. Women always get upset when they're in love. And I'm like, okay, Amir. Like, Amir is so, like, it's so fascinating to me.
Yeah.
He's very emotionally intelligent and is pretty, like, good. We'll get to the conversation with Natalie later. Is pretty good in terms of this stuff. And then he'll make a comment like that. And it's like, Jesus.
Where Amir has a lot of potential, but it hasn't necessarily been nurtured.
Right. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And I've said too, like, it's also, I feel he's regurgitating stuff that he's heard other men say to like fit in. Right. Yeah. And so like that also is like,
but that's a lot of, that is a lot of how toxic masculinity perpetuates.
Mm-hmm.
It's not necessarily that things are believed, at least at first. Right. It's more of a, oh, that's what everybody says and what everybody thinks. And then you repeat it enough until you do believe it.
Exactly.
And you internalize that shit.
Yeah.
So, I mean,
and it's hard to unlearn it.
Yeah. It's hard to unlearn it at that point. That's how all forms of bigotry start, because we are not born bigoted.
Right.
Children do not believe that there is a hierarchy of people based on their sexuality, based on their gender, based on the color of their skin, based on their religion, whatever.
Yeah.
You know, children don't understand that. They have to be taught that shit.
Yeah.
And it is through repetition and the urge to fit in that stuff is nurtured.
Yeah. Alex brings up the photo issue again and thought that it was like creepy that Summer like took this photo of him and sent it to people.
It's not creepy.
I don't care. Like, it's one of those things where it's like, why are you making this such a big deal? I think he
was mad because she exposed him.
Right. And then Alex goes, I was like, we can be cool though. And on the boat, Nick then goes, hold on a second. Can you rebeat? And they're like, what does that mean? And I'm like, it is the grossest way to put, like, it's basically him saying, can you have sex with her again? Like, are you in that potential? Just so, like, calling it a beat is like, ooh. Like,
I get how they got there, but like, you couldn't have just stopped it. I don't know. Could you hit it again?
Yeah.
But like, to reinforce the usage of the word hit, and then to go further into more abusive type language.
Sure.
It's like, really?
But it's also, so it's that element as well. And then it's also the element that Amir kind of points out in the confessional, which he goes, why are you telling him to re-beat? Is it because that you want to beat? Like, basically, it is kind of, like, Amir was able to suss it where it's like, it was basically Nick saying, like, is this going to thing that could then reignite at this point? Because, again, I'm Nick. I want to keep my options open.
Right. Nick is always going to be looking for any opportunity to get his dick wet.
Which plays so interesting to the conversation later at the end of the episode with like Nick's issues where it's like...
He seemed so concerned.
Yeah.
He was like, I'm verklempt over the possibility that I've overstepped my bounds.
Yeah. Or made things look a certain way as if I was going to pursue someone. It's like a blind man could see that you were going to pursue these people. Anyways, everyone's getting ready for decades night. And so they come down to the living room and Noelle is hosting like the costume contest for everybody. Okay. Jasmine starts off as a 1950s housewife. And it's just like, oh my God, this is so on the nose. You really should have picked something else. Cause
anything else.
And Jasmine must have known like that was the perception.
She walked out looking like June fucking Cleaver.
Amira says in the confessional, Jasmine shows up as a 50s housewife. I thought the theme of the night was dressing as someone who wasn't yourself.
Honestly.
Like, oh, man, like you're setting yourself up. Preston is doing a look from like the 1990s. He says it's inspired by the movie Juice, which is the Tupac Shakur movie. And he says in the confessional, if you ain't seen Juice and you're black, I don't trust that. And then I love Shanice is like, I don't fucking know what that movie is. But yeah. And then but the only thing that Shanice loves. So Preston is like doing the like sort of like thug vibe and like grabbing at his crotch, like in that sort of like way. And Shanice is just yelling, yes, you're holding your dick. You're my favorite. Oh, my God. Shanice says, we said it before. Shanice is just like sex, 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 crying, sex, 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 this episode.
Honestly.
And yeah, Nick is dressed as Arthur Ashe. And he goes, if you guys don't know who Arthur Ashe is, and no one has a fucking clue. And in fairness, it took me like a minute because I was like, I know the stadium and the stadium hosts tennis. So I'm going to assume it's a tennis player.
But that's just what Nick wears all the time anyway.
Yeah.
So now we have two that are just dressing themselves.
Right.
Because they put a side-by-side picture. Because
Bria looks it up on her phone in the confessional, and she's like, that just looks like Nick.
Exactly.
Yeah. Shanice is literally just in leggings and a top, and they show her deckage, ? It's just like, she just wore something tight-fitting and wanted to twerk a bit, so.
Bitch, that's Shanice.
And then Bria makes a comment, it's giving working girl. And everyone goes, oh shit. And then Shanice goes, I'm a good working girl. I'm hardworking. And it goes completely over her head what Bria's saying.
She called you a hoe.
And she literally, they have to explain it to her. And she's like, you just called me a prostitute, Bria. And then like,
oh Lord.
Like, how is like, who? Shanice is an enigma. I'll say that. Yes. I will say that. Like you mentioned, Amir dresses up as Nick. Preston is the one that ends up winning the best dressed, and Nick, I love Nick trying to like fight with the judges and all that stuff. It's like, oh,
like not even just attempts to, he's like legitimately offended.
He's like, the prompt that we were given, and it's like, oh, fuck off. Like, you're like, it's.
Yeah, he was irritating me.
They all change to go into the hot tub, but so they get into their swimsuits, but they find out that it's like raining outside. So it's like, oh, let's just stay in the living room still. But they keep their bikinis on. Well, I can't remember. I think everyone does, but definitely like Shanice is just full out still in her bikini in the living room.
To be fair, Shanice doesn't keep her bikini on for long.
Yeah. And it's also, before she changes in the bikini, she makes sure to flash everyone in the kitchen. And oh my God, the sensors that were like just over the nipple, like.
It almost looked like they didn't nipple, or they didn't nipple. They didn't censor her at all. It's like, what are we doing?
So they're okay. So they're sitting around and they're playing some like card game where it's like either prompts or like questions or something.
Yeah.
And Shanice draws one because she's talking about like, oh my God, I want a shot so bad. And it says, everyone take a shot. Please take a shot. Who wants shot? It's shot a fucking clock. And Preston is like, okay, let's just do like a sip of our drink. Let's not do like shots. And she goes, y'all are lame. I'm getting you all shots. How many do I need? I need 8 shots. Okay. And goes to the kitchen to pour them shots.
It's like, are you going to force them down people's throats?
I honestly think Shanice would. I could believe that.
If that hadn't been preempted by something else.
By a sad situation. Amir reads the next card. It goes, who is the worst dresser in the group? And the best part, Noelle points out, it's someone else's question. Like, so it's, I think it's maybe Amir's, I don't know. But Summer then starts being like, let's see, who's the worst dressed in the group? She's like, I have opinions and I'm going to vocalize them. She goes, I would say Shanice. And like, she's like, she's not a bad person or anything. I noticed it on the rewatch. Preston is the one that ends up going, so you're like picking like the worst of the best. I thought Summer was the one that said that, but no, Preston was like helping Summer as much as possible to like soften or whatever. So Shanice then, like, comes back into the room after, like, I guess hearing this and goes, you call me the worst dress? And she's, like, standing in front of them and she goes, someone goes, yeah, I mean, like, we said, like, the worst of the best. She goes, why am I the worst dress? Because I'm the realest one and you all wear fake shit? And it was one of those things where it was, like, it almost, the tone also could have almost been a joke. It really didn't resonate till later that Shanice, like, took this, like, really offensively and seriously.
Right.
And oh my God. And then Preston goes, no, my shit is fake too. It just looks nice. I think he was trying to defuse, but it was like, oh no, there's another like dig.
Yeah. Well, Preston didn't realize there was a deeper layer. What's frustrating is Summer did know.
Right.
Summer knew what Shanice was going through, which we hear in a second. But Shanice then runs out of the room, goes up to her bedroom and is crying in her bathroom.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Preston like kind of thought later, he says later, like, I think she might have thought that we were just saying it and it wasn't part of the game. Like, it was like,
well, but Summer was taking it, or not Summer, Shanice took it personally because apparently Shanice has just lost her job recently.
Yeah, she says that she basically got transferred from Phoenix to Tampa for the job and then they fired her. And so, which is like,
fucked up.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And she goes, Summer knows that, so by bringing that up, it really hurts me, essentially. But I don't think that was the mindset of, because I don't think Summer even related, maybe, because Summer can be a little bitchy later. We'll get to it. Maybe she didn't mean it.
Yeah.
But, like, I don't think she related style to money.
Right, because you can look fly and shop at the thrift store. I can't speech. You know, like, again, they're not related. Like, you could go to Ross Dress for Less and look cute.
Right. Shanice tells, because Bria's checking on her, Shanice goes, she can go suck a dick. And Bria goes, she doesn't dress nice either. I love, this was amazing by Bria, I felt, because I feel like Bria takes the moment to, like, console Shanice, like, sort of, like, reassure her. But then once Shanice is, like, better, Bria then goes into like shit stir mode.
Right.
She's like, she doesn't look good either. And then Bria tells her, I think you should say something. Like, yo, you got me fucked up. Like, no, you shouldn't say it like that. Like there's a calmer way to sort of negotiate. But Bria's like, nah, fucking like
Bria was like, I was the one crying last season. We'll make you the crier this season.
Yeah. Noelle then also goes up to check on Shanice, and she's like, look, they'll win if you don't come back downstairs. Like, just come back and, you know,
yeah,
enjoy yourself. And then as they're in the hallway, Summer comes up to Shanice and like, is everything good? And Shanice goes, I just don't like how you did it that way. And Summer like hugs her and it's like, no, I didn't mean it like that. It was just like, it was a game, you know, whatever. Oh my God. Then they cut to, I'm assuming this was the day after, but they cut to the truth booth, which is like, they're like, it's basically the it's like the confessional they had on Girls Trip.
Right.
Like that they could do like in the moment or whatever. And it's Noelle and Summer and they're talking and Summer's like, look, like when I'm around her, it's always just like a top and some shorts. Like that's not best dressed. Like justifying it now, like continuing to justify it. And Noelle's like, I mean, she was just like, she didn't think twice when she said it. And Summer goes, because I didn't have to. It was like, wow. Okay. Summer has some like I love it. Like she's a great like antagonist this season, but like it's very clear she has those qualities about her. Oh my God. So they like Shanice like wipes her tears away and then they all just start dancing and she's twerking on the fucking couch and like it, like Nick is right there next
like
to her,
like inches from her flapping booty cheeks
at eye level and it's like and like just staring like straight on. It's like, oh Nick, you're pushing it. I like Amir kind of talks later about like the struggle that he has in terms of like having a girlfriend and sort of like balancing like I want to be around my friends, but when my friend is like literally like when you have a friend like Shanice,
yeah,
who is 95% of the time topless.
Honestly,
it is,
which she is again in this moment. She takes her top off.
It's like, what do you do in that moment where it's just like, do you have a conversation with that person? Like, do you like, is it on that person to then temper themselves? Which I, in Shanice's case, I kind of think so. Cause I think you can have fun and still like,
but like, I also feel like it goes back to the same conversation we had last year. Is it Shanice's job to censor herself in order to make men more comfortable? Or should the men just say, I'm not going to ogle my friend?
Sure.
Like, because Amir,
if you can do it
while
in a way-
Amir is struggling, Amir is taking that struggle upon himself, as opposed to Alex, or not Alex, Nick. Well, probably Alex, but Nick, who is going, fuck it, I'm gonna stare.
Sure.
I don't care if I have a girlfriend.
And you can not stare and still be in the space. I think that was more sort of a Amir's thing. It's like, is it, the problem is if the space is to such a place where it's like,
right. Well, then you can excuse yourself. If you don't feel comfortable.
Yeah.
And it's because, like, that's the thing. You have to make a choice where it's like, do I stay in this space and hang out with my friends, or do I go to the other room because I know that my girlfriend would be uncomfortable with this?
Right. So, but so what happens is though, Amir is kind of not looking at, like, he's kind of to himself, like on the chair, and as everyone else is like doing their thing, and he's texting his girlfriend Natalie at this point. He texts her something to the effect of, what do I eat now, ... babe, which is kind of, I mean, it's a slightly confusing text to me. I don't know. But then Natalie goes, huh, ? I'm so confused. That was so random. And then she says, makes it seem like it was meant for a different person, which is like, it is a little like jumping to a conclusion. Right.
Yeah. We also don't know if there was another text before that.
Sure. So like you said, Amir then goes off into the boys' room, right? Away from everybody.
To call her.
He goes like, hey, why are you being weird? Like, why would you think that that text was meant for someone else, my love? And Natalie goes, it sounded like it was meant for somebody else because it didn't have any place in our conversation.
Right. Which means that there was text before that.
Sure. Yeah. I don't think Amir was doing it. It just seemed like a weird phrasing of a text to me. I can understand why Natalie thought it was a weird text, but like, it just seems she went straight to,
right,
did you mean to send that to somebody else?
Right. This is like, there have been several yellow flags for me with her, and we haven't even met her yet.
Yeah.
So it's like, What's happening here? What is going on?
Well, and then Amir also then tells her about, like, yeah, everyone's like kind of partying around me, and it's just, and he tells Natalie kind of like how Nick is like ogling, right? And so like that, and he's like, I don't think Tayshia would like appreciate that, Nick's girlfriend,
right?
Like in terms of that, and he's like, it's just not my vibe. Natalie then goes, are you upset about having to do that? And Amir goes, no, I want to do it. Like, which I do, I actually believe, I'm sorry, maybe if I'm naive to Amir, but I actually believe Amir doesn't want to.
Like, she seems so insecure, and he seems like, no, I'm really trying to be respectful.
I also think he's being extra, I mean, I think it might be because of Natalie's personality, it seems, based off of what we're hearing. But I think he's also being very active to say, I'm not doing these things. Look, babe, I'm not doing these things. Look at whatever. And I think sometimes, if you are a very, like, if you're someone who's in your head and sort right. of, like, thinking the worst of people, when you have a boyfriend who's, like, constantly, like, emphasizing that he's not doing stuff, you could second guess it.
Yeah, that's fair.
But I also think, like, it could be because of your own propensity to do, like, yeah. I think, Natalie, based on what the other women describe.
Like, he's trying to reassure her because he knows that she can get into that spiral, but that's just sending her more into the spiral because she's reading it as he's lying to me and he's overcompensating.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
So they all finish up for the night after drinking and partying and all that. Also, credit to all the women, like, clean up the kitchen completely. The next morning,
completely drunk.
Yeah. The next morning, Preston's like, we were all drunk. What the fuck? Like, there had to have been, like, a cleaning crew in here.
There was. It's the other half of the cast.
You should think that.
Yeah.
And also, you loved, so they're like going in for the night or whatever and like going to bed. You were like, Preston's my man, because Preston is in bed with his laptop open
and a plate of food.
Like, what? You were like, oh, that is me, like, with my stories, just yep. like, you know, chilling in bed.
I was like looking like what was airing right then on Bravo, because you know that messy bitch was watching something on Bravo. Atlanta was airing at that time, I think. It was whatever was happening last July, August, because
yeah.
I think that's when this was filming. That was about that time.
So they wake up the next morning and they're all in the kitchen and stuff like that. They're like, yeah, how'd you sleep? Well, and I was good. Shanice was good. Yeah, I was sending like sex to people. And they show the text exchange with the photo that she was sending, like, and it's like a full frontal, like, new thing.
Like, girl.
You noted, like, it is not just the fact that she was doing it, but that she gave that photo to Bravo.
Right. But it's like, well, Bravo's got it all on camera anyway, so
might as well. Amir's like, did you send it to your man or to like a roster? And Shanice is like, I sent it to a few of them.
Like, like the premium one got the good one, and then the other one's just got a basic nude.
Yeah, I'm all for like sexting, whatever. Like, do whatever you want if it's like, and you like, it's on the other person to be responsible with it. But she's very loosey goosey in terms of just like. Like,
but I guess if you're sending different nudes to different people, you know who it was if something leaks.
That's a good point. That's a very good point. Preston is FaceTiming his boyfriend Donald, who's coming later in the trip. So
yay.
We're gonna get to see him, which I like, again, like seeing gays on Bravo more and then seeing gay couples is
yes.
like, important, I feel. Nick and Noelle are playing chess together because Noelle was telling Nick about how she plays chess all the time. She'll like go to Washington Square Park and just like play with people randomly and like all that. I just the stacking of Noelle's qualities just seem very like cool.
Yeah,
like she's very fun and chill and like naturally like sexy and has a vibe, but also is smart and like
right.
She just has everything kind of going for her. We see Jordan in her room FaceTiming her dad, David, and she's like, so I got this hair deal with this like company, and we're going to be doing like educational content as well in terms of that. And this is where, Jordan gets to tell us a little bit about how she, is suffering from alopecia areata, and is losing a good chunk of her hair. Basically in her case, she says it's a hereditary thing that's kind of like grown over time. That it's just like progressing in a way.
Right.
And like, obviously like black women and their hair, it's like a big topic and issue.
Mm-hmm. Cause it's been weaponized against black women for so long. And I mean, even till today, like, there's so much identity and culture around hair for Black women, especially women in general. Mm-hmm. But like, and it, like I said, it's weaponized. Like, so many are forced to go through like these like chemical processes that damage their hair.
Yeah.
And, you know, cause all of these issues.
Well, she talks about how she, like, it started, like, really being a thing. She was on a shoot years ago, mm-hmm. and they gave her a relaxer.
Well, yeah, that's one of those chemical things that's just, like, really, really damaging.
Yeah, and so I think, and I know, because it was in the trailer, we're seemingly going to get more of that story, and so, yeah, I think it's brave of Jordan to talk about it and share about it and all that stuff.
Yeah.
So Summer, says to, Shanice, like, sorry. So they're getting ready to go out and Summer walked into this. I feel she goes into Shanice's room and goes, "Hey Shanice, do you have like a jacket or like a sweater that would like match?" And immediately Shanice goes, "I don't know. Don't ask me, the worst dresser." And he's like, "Just kidding." But like, yeah, Summer, you kind of led into that.
That was funny.
So they have the choice. So half of them are going to do like this, like workout, like big workout session. Uh-huh. And the other half is going to brunch. Uh-huh. Jordan was such a mood in the confessional going, "Me? Go to the gym over brunch, bitch?" Like,
it's so good.
She's like, "I want my crispy bacon. I want my like that." Like, I'm sorry. And also just the like, they like, when they get the workout people get back to the house, they have to like randomly eat like stuff that's just around. I was like, "No, bitch, I need to fucking eat. Like, I don't care how much like a like fine workout or whatever, but it's like, no, I need to fucking eat. Like, I don't care. Like, yeah."
Well, yeah, and it's also hard to talk shit while you're working out.
There, like, you know.
We got very good conversation over at the brunch crew.
Yeah, because that, well, and that brunch crew, because it's Jordan, Summer, and Preston. They're a messy bunch, I feel.
It's good.
They do love to talk some shit. Jordan and, like I said, Jordan, Summer, and Preston are in the car together going to brunch, and they're just sort of talking about stuff. Jordan mentions about Nick, though, and she goes, "You know, Nick, he's just like on my body constantly," and we see like a compilation, and it's not like, here's the thing, he's not groping
or anything.
He's not like grabbing like private parts or like, you know, grabbing her ass or whatever. Like, there's a moment with like Summer where he's just like rubbing her shoulder, and it's still a problem. Like, it's still like, you know, non-consensual touching. That's like a, you know, something that needs to be like dealt with. But
they're like, their issue was not necessarily like, this is inappropriate in and of itself, but more of, "We feel uncomfortable because you have a girlfriend and we don't feel like..."
Yeah. Preston's like,
"This is appropriate for you to be doing."
He's like, "I don't think Tayshia would like appreciate that at the end of the day." And Preston tells him like, "Remember when I straight up told him, like, I believe you want to break up with Tayshia, like, because you can't respect her. I'm sorry. You can't." And Jordan goes, "I don't think he's happy in the relationship."
I don't know how she stayed with this man after the way he acted on last season.
Yeah, it's like, we didn't get to see a lot of her, right?
She was only at the finale party.
Yeah.
But like,
is she just like a pushover?
Did she just not watch the season?
Well,
but
yes.
Like, the girls told her that day what had been going on.
I have to think that she just either is like naive or something, or like, and because Preston talks about like how it's like Nick not wanting to pull the trigger, right? And he kind of says it's like, it's kind of an awkward thing to like pull the trigger, because like last summer when he was the one citing in all you guys' DMs, like, it becomes awkward then to be the one to break up with someone, right? Because it's like, you were active, like, and I get Preston's point where it's like, you were kind of actively like pursuing other women to then be like Tayshia. It would make more sense for Tayshia to be the one to break up with him.
But to me, like, yeah, sure, it would, like, Tayshia should, in that situation, be like, "I'm not comfortable with you doing this, and I don't feel like you respect me. So, yeah, I'm breaking up with you." But also, like, if Alex wants to go do all of this shit, Nick. Jesus, because they're both fuckboys.
Yeah.
Nick... If Nick's going to go around and be doing all this shit, he should break up with her before he does it.
Right. And Summer even goes like, don't waste her time.
Exactly.
Like be a fuckboy if you want to be a fuckboy. Like,
it's clear that he doesn't respect her at all.
Yeah. And that's a problem. Oh, wait. So they're at the workout session. Alex is, Amir is very impressive in the workout. He's like lifting 365 pounds of shit. He does this, like I've seen people who do like the flip with the rings or whatever, where they turn over, and fucking Alex tries it and like overextends and basically almost like dislocates his shoulder.
Yeah.
He's like, oh, I could have fucking ruined my shit. Just like right there. Like,
yep.
Yeah. Don't be doing shit like that. So they're all, the others are sitting down for brunch and they're talking about like the Shanice Summer. Basically both sides are talking about like the Shanice Summer stuff.
Right.
Jordan's like, I feel like Shanice, like she's upset when she's upset about something. We don't know about it until it reaches this like huge, like precipice of a thing.
Oh yeah.
And Summer kind of talks later about how like she doesn't communicate and show emotions. She's like, you know, when we were in Jamaica, when we had like intimate time, it was never like a deep conversation, which I kind of see, like we see it on last season. Like I don't think Shanice is ever that deep, or I don't know a lot about Shanice other than she's like a fun time.
Yeah, she's a good time girl, and that's fine. Like there's nothing wrong with that. It's just like hard to build a deep connection with someone who doesn't allow there to be deep connections or deep anything. And everything's very surface.
And it's definitely, I think, what she is presenting, right? She's actively choosing to.
Yeah, it's clearly an act.
And it goes even because Shanice is also like talking shit about Summer, obviously, at the workout. And then in her confessional, Shanice goes, Summer is jealous of me. In Jamaica, I was telling her about the guys that I talk to, and most of them have like status, you know? They're just not like 9-to-5ers. And she's like, how do you talk to these men? And I'm like, girl, look at me. Who wouldn't want to date me? That is like so performative to me.
Yeah.
And also, like, you're dating people with status. The only boyfriend we know of you is like the one that was in like 4 episodes of Insecure that you allegedly stalked.
yeah. Like, it's just. It's wild to me. Like, is she just as much of a fuckboy as Alex and Nick is?
Yeah, their fuck girls can be a thing.
Yeah, like, it just, that's what it's giving to me. It's like, there's no depth, no commitment, no anything.
Yeah.
It's just a good time, which is fine, but you can't live your whole life like that.
Right. So Preston, back at brunch, Preston goes to Summer and goes, listen, how was Alex in bed? And Summer's face is just like, oh God. And he's like, oh, it wasn't good. Summer's like, he's a good cuddler. He's like a great kisser. And then like, it's the juxtaposition of him of like, and even last year, Summer was like hyping up the idea of Alex possibly being like really good in bed. And now modern day in her confessional, she goes, it wasn't as passionate as I would like. Like, it's not like quickies, but it's just not like there yet.
Yeah, he does talk a good game about, like, you would think the way that he carries himself that he would be at least attempting to be very sensual.
Well, and it's fascinating. They ask Alex the same question in his confessional, and he goes, let me not answer that question.
Which indicates that he thinks she's just as bad as he is.
Right. Or like, are they passing the blame to each other? I mean, they're kind of doing that in terms
Or do they just not have chemistry?
Right. I don't see them meshing in many ways.
Like, yeah.
So Noelle is talking to the girls at the workout. Apparently she thought that at the first dinner at the house, when Summer made the comment about like being inside me or whatever, she's like, I thought she was saying like, you're not showing me who you really are, so you can't try to fuck me. And they're like, wait, did she like completely like mishear what happened? And apparently she was just so invested in those fucking crab legs that she wasn't paying attention to literally anything.
She said, ooh, this got a lot of Old Bay on it. This tastes good.
Yeah. Jasmine, her professional, goes, it definitely doesn't mean he was inside your W-2 filing your taxes.
Nope.
Noelle is kind of frustrated though with Summer because Summer's her like bestie, and she's frustrated about like sort of like what she was told about Alex versus what seemingly is the case. She's like, hanging out and having sex is two very different things. You're my girl, and you can't even keep it real with me. Like, to try to lay it out there, right? Of like what right. the actual deal was.
Because Summer keeps talking about it as if, you know, we're just friends. We're just hanging out. You know, nothing really happened. It's not really that big of a deal. And it's like, okay, but you can't talk about that on one hand like that and then turn around and act like he owes you some level of loyalty because y'all fucked.
Summer says to like Jordan and Preston, like, I don't communicate well enough and I maybe should do that better in terms of like that I didn't communicate well enough that I viewed it as like nothing more than a fuck. And it's like,
yeah, you also clearly didn't.
Right. That's my frustration. So then they all return to the house. Noelle and Summer are talking in a room about like, you know, Noelle's like, how was brunch and stuff like that. Noelle's like, you know, I know we had our talk about like the Alex stuff. I thought he tried to fuck. I didn't know he like fucked basically.
Yeah.
And Summer's telling her like, look, it was just convenient and I don't hold any weight towards it. I wasn't interested in Alex like that. And Noelle goes, look, I just didn't know you that you fucked because I don't do that. Basically being like, I would have, even if you guys,
right.
like, surface level or not, knowing that you two fucked, I wouldn't have gone.
Means he's off limits to me.
Anywhere
yeah.
near it. And Summer's just like, I mean, I guess, and that's like a you thing. Like, it's which is such a game. Like, I know Summer's not gay, but it's like a gay mentality. It's just like, yeah, we fucked. It doesn't mean that you can't fuck him. Like,
well, but I maintain that the reason that gay people, at least gay men, don't really give a shit is because, number one, we're mostly horny bastards and we'll fuck anything with legs.
Right.
But two, there's so few of us that if we start Xing people out because somebody you know slept with them,
you have no one left.
You have no one left. So you just kind of like fuck around in a giant circle until you find one that you vibe with, and then you stick with that one.
Yeah. So, and then we cut to Summer in the truth booth talking about Noelle, and she goes, look, when I say we hang out, I mean we do shit. And I don't owe you an explanation of what I do with that person if you don't even know that person. I don't agree with that.
But you sure, in general, but when you know that person is looking to date that, yes, you owe them full disclosure.
You need the full resume and scheduling.
Where are like, the Carfax?
Where's the Carfax, exactly, of like what exactly happened? Because that's just a common courtesy, I feel. The guys are then talking in the bedrooms, and Alex is like, I mean, Amir, when you were pushing those weights, like the girls were getting a little moist at you. And this is where Amir kind of like talks about like the stuff with Natalie and about how he like worrying about like being in spaces with like someone like Shanice, and
right.
where it's, you know, the stuff we kind of talked about before. Nick then goes, just do what I do. Just sit there. And Preston goes,
girl,
you think that's what you do? We have eyeballs, and clearly you do too, because they're pointed. Preston goes, Nick, you don't notice. You can get a little handsy, because now Preston's going to try to broach this conversation. Nick goes, I didn't touch anyone last night. And Alex is like, look, it doesn't come up like you're trying to be like a sleazeball. Like, it's not like that sort right. of like discussion. Amir then goes, but we need you to acknowledge that the actions can be interpreted as you being a fuckboy. And Preston goes, it's interpreted, but go off.
That was very, just say talk.
Preston tells him, like, look, we love you. Like, Jordan and Summer will talk to you. They haven't talked to Tayshia and to know if she's comfortable with y'all's relationship. Maybe she would get offended. And Nick goes, look, she trusts me. I haven't given her a reason not to. And I really want, I think Preston was just like,
did she not watch last season?
Yeah.
Because that's plenty reason not to trust you.
There's a, yeah, it's a problem. It's just, yeah. Nick's like telling Nick, it's a worrying place how we leave the episode, because Nick's in his confessional basically being like, look, I don't understand, because like Jordan and Summer are very comfortable around me. Like, why would they not like tell me this or whatever? And I'm like, oh, okay, we're virgin to like.
Well, and then he's like doing this anxiety like pacing, and like then he just walks into Jordan and Summer's room where they're sleeping.
Yeah.
And like starts pacing around their room and then goes, do I make y'all uncomfortable?
And Jordan goes, you do get handsy. And the Summer goes,
that.
And that's where we leave the episode on like a big sort of like to be continued where they're going to like brace the issue. Again, it really, I mean, I hope Nick handles it well because it's a touchy.
Nick is standing there with like shocked Pikachu face.
Sure. It's a touchy thing, literally. but it's like, I'm glad Preston was just, it's not like a thing of we think that you're like harassing these women. It's more of a like, there's a natural boundary when you're in a relationship. And so we need clarity in terms of that. And like, you have to be more clear. And if you don't want to be with Tayshia, you should end your relationship with Tayshia.
Right.
You know, that was Summer House Martha's Vineyard. Like I said, just a really fun show, really enjoyable stuff coming out of the Vineyard.
All right, let's get into these tops and bottoms. We've got Drag Race. We've got Potomac. We've got Summer House. Summer House Martha's Vineyard.
There's a lot of consonants there.
What you thinking, babe?
I'm going to start with my top from Summer House. it's going to go to Preston. I just thought, yeah, Preston is really a great star on this show. Like, I loved getting to see, like, more emotional depth from him too this season.
Yeah.
And I love just the way that, like, he's funny, and then he also is able to sort of, like, negotiate these things. Like, I thought he handled the Nick stuff really well. Mm-hmm. You could tell he's really, like, vibing with people and trying to make things better with people and trying to, like, build something within this group. And it's just really special to see.
Well, and he's bone-carrying in a non-shady way, mm-hmm. which I really enjoy.
Yeah. He's helping the show a lot.
Yes.
Yeah, really great stuff from Preston. My bottom is going to go to Miss Robin Dixon over on Potomac.
Honestly.
Like, again, not even because I don't like her. I just, like, think objectively she did so poor this first part of the reunion.
Yeah.
It was sad. It was a sad fucking affair. If this is her last season, it's not great. Yeah, really poor job just overall and not able to just land any blows in for me. Yeah. What about you, babe? What are your tops and bottoms?
I was real tempted to give my bottom to Giselle just because
obvious reasons
I watched the show. but I feel like she's going to make a bigger ass of herself later on. So I'm giving her room to show her entire ass, in the next two parts. So we'll let that happen. So for now I'm going to give my bottom to Nick because I just think the behavior is disgusting.
Yeah.
Not even like, maybe not disgusting might be too strong, but it's just like, dude, really?
I think disgusting is actually pretty proper.
I feel like disgusting might be a little bit much, but like maybe like it turns my stomach a little bit.
Right.
You know, it's like one of those things where you're like, really you're gonna do that? Mm-hmm. Like, I'm not fully thinking he's being disgusting.
Yeah.
But like, I think he's not being great. I think he's being disrespectful to his girlfriend and maybe even not doing it on purpose, but like, that's kind of worse that this behavior is so ingrained in you that you do it mindlessly.
Yeah.
Like, come on, dude, do better. We're fucking adults. Like, act like one. I don't know. My top for the week is Candace, just because, I mean, it's no secret that we're big old candy canes over here. It's really hard watching her getting kicked over and over and over again. And I think she handled herself well despite how clearly exhausted she is and how clearly defeated I think she felt. You could see the moment that she gave up.
Yeah.
And it was kind of heartbreaking to watch. But I think she represented herself well. She stood her ground in the midst of, she could have gone very low. You know, she just decided to not put that energy into it anymore. And I think that's the reason why I want to celebrate her this week, because she really could have expended more energy and got real nasty and real petty, and she decided to rise above it. Hey, thanks for tuning into this episode of A Gay and His Envy.
Join us next time for more of our recaps and hot takes. And be sure to subscribe and leave a review wherever you are listening. And check us out on our social media at A Gay and His Envy on all the platforms.
A special shout out to Shane Ivers, who wrote Pulsar, the song we use for our theme.
I'm Eamon.
I'm Merlin. And we're out.
This show is a member of the Sorgatron Media Podcast Network. Find out more at sorgatronmedia.com.